The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday. It's October 16th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the family of missing activist Jamal Khashoggi said Monday they're following the news of the writer who disappeared in Saudi Arabia on October 2nd. We are sadly and anxiously following the conflicting news regarding the fate of our father after losing contact with him 2 weeks ago when he disappeared after entering a Saudi consulate in Istanbul, the family said in a statement published by the Washington Post. Our family is traumatized and yearns to be together during this painful time. 59-year-old Khashoggi disappeared earlier this month after he entered the Saudi consulate to obtain documents related to his upcoming marriage to a Turkish woman. Surveillance footage captured him entering through the main entrance, but he was never seen leaving. Turkish authorities say they have evidence proving that Khashoggi was killed by Saudi agents, while other officials have claimed the journalist was alive when he left the building and they don't know what happened to him. Several media outlets reported on Monday that the Saudi government is considering whether to announce that rogue intelligence operatives killed Khashoggi by accident. President Trump told journalists that nobody knows if it's an official report and called the ordeal a terrible situation. He noted that Saudi's king strongly denied any involvement. Paul Allen, the owner of the Seattle Seahawks, who became one of the richest people in the world after co-founding Microsoft, died at the age of 65. Allen revealed 2 weeks ago that he was battling non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, although he released a statement that sounded optimistic and said that he would fight the disease aggressively. After buying the Seahawks in 1996, Allen earned a reputation as an owner who was willing to spend whatever it took to give his team the best chance to win, but who was also hands-off enough that allowed the coaches and personnel executives to determine the best course for the team. The results spoke for themselves as the Seahawks built a competitive roster and won a Super Bowl. Allen's sister, Jody Allen, released a statement on the behalf of the family. My brother was a remarkable individual on every level, she said. While most knew Paul Allen as a technologist and philanthropist, for us, he was a much loved brother and uncle and an exceptional friend. Paul's family and friends were blessed to experience his wit, warmth, his generosity, and deep concern. For all of the demands of his schedule, there was always time for family and friends, she said.
So in the early days of Microsoft, he was not like a code writer. He was making the deals that helped propel Microsoft along, but he was critical to the success. An amazing amount of stuff he achieved.
And only 65. That's sad. Allen never married and had no children. It is unknown who will inherit the Seahawks. It was a wild scene outside of Lehigh County home as investigators worked into the night to remove more than 100 animals, many of them exotic. The animals were being transported to the Lehigh County Humane Society in Allentown to be treated. Authorities were first called to the Mukunji property after receiving complaints of incessant barking. When they arrived, they found not only dogs, but rabbits, birds, even pigs, and large snakes, including a 15-foot constrictor, which presents a danger to the community. Officials say the animals lived on top of each other in deplorable conditions. Some were found dead. Most others were emaciated or dehydrated. The home reeked of animal waste, making it difficult for investigators and volunteers to breathe and see clearly, forcing them to use equipment firefighters use when navigating through thick black smoke. Ugh. They said they used the firemen's respirators to go through the house.
It's horrific. I had a cat years ago that we adopted. They were going to put it down, but it worked out a way to take care of it medically. But it was in one of these hoarder houses, and the conditions were so deplorable that this cat had clawed its way through the drywall to escape, you know, all the other animals.
Out?
Yeah, to try to get out. So they found it actually in the drywall. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, that's how horrible these places can get.
Because they have so many exotic animals, the Humane Society is looking for homes that are knowledgeable and skilled in handling different types of animals. For now, the Humane Society is looking for monetary donations to take care of all of the animals. If you'd like to help, you can go to LehighCountyHumaneSociety.org. In sports this morning.
Sacks are yummy.
What is that?
Well, last night in the NLCS, the Milwaukee Brewers beat the Dodgers 4-0 and now lead the series 2-1. Orlando Arcia hit a 2-run home run to lead the Brewers to a 4-0 victory. It was Milwaukee's third shutout in 6 playoff games this year. That series continues tonight in L.A., while the NLCS will also continue in Houston with the Red Sox and Astros tied at 1 game apiece. In Monday Night Football, Mason Crosby kicked a 27-yard field goal as time expired to finish an 81-yard drive set up by Kevin King's interception with a 1:07 left in the Packers beat the San Francisco 49ers 33-30. The Packers scored 10 points in the game's final 2 minutes, including Crosby's game winner, his 4th field goal of the night. The Flyers will return to the ice with a game at home against the Florida Panthers, who have yet to win a game this season and are 0-2-1. The Flyers are coming off a shutout loss at home on Saturday against the Vegas Golden Knights and are 2-3. The game will be broadcast on WMMR and is set to begin at 7 o'clock. A fan at Gillette Stadium who threw a beer on Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill is being charged with disorderly conduct and throwing an object at a sporting event. The Foxborough Police Department announced the charges after the New England Patriots helped to identify the fan, banned him from the stadium, and forwarded his information to law enforcement. The incident occurred after Hill's 75-yard catch and run touchdown late in the fourth quarter of Sunday night's game.
I was just helping out the team, man. Yeah.
Hill's momentum carried him through the end zone to the barrier where fans can stand while watching the game. Some fans flipped off the receiver and one threw a beer. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. That's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Good morning. Welcome. It's Tuesday. The triumphant return of Kathy Romano.
Yes.
To our studio.
She was on sabbatical.
She was.
I am going to take more sabbatical.
A little soul searching.
That would be
work
nice.
With the children in Peru.
I said it was nice to be a stay-at-home mom. I worked out in the morning.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you watch your stories?
I watched my stories. Did a little shopping.
Oh, wow. Happy to hear that everything went wonderfully. We're getting started on this Tuesday morning with another shot at giving away money to you. You winning money from us at MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2. So we got a couple weeks left of this. So still many chances for you to win. We do it 5 times a day.
It's been amazing.
Yeah, it has been.
Sometimes you try to look back and calculate the amount of money given away. I stopped a while ago.
Yeah, so we'll do that starting at 8 o'clock. So get yourself set for that. We have our friend Craig Shoemaker stopping in today. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and then through the weekend. It's Tuesday, so that means that somebody's going to get some free ink. We have Tattoos Day taking place. We'll give you a heads up on that whole deal when that's taking place. And our friends at Yards Brewing are going to be stopping in today. And let me see. We're going to have some stuff to give away. Yes.
Yes.
Landmark Americana. They will be here this morning. So your chance to win that. And we have a stack of prizes. And I just saw this. This is very cool, as expected, and was hoping. We are going to have a screening, an advanced screening of the movie Bohemian Rhapsody.
Uh-huh.
So we'll do some giveaways with that. It's coming. It's well in advance. It's going to be on Wednesday, October 24th, next Wednesday.
I am looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. So we'll tell you when to call in to get those tickets and get on board for that. So it looks like a great movie. So these things and more are going to be taking place through the course of today's program. So hopefully you'll stick with us for the whole thing. Let's go ahead and take a break. Come back in a second. Got some entertainment stories to roll out to you, as well as a stupid question with some giveaways. And don't forget our Word of the Week prize, too. We got a trip to California, and it's for this whole special screening and event of Overlord, and that'll be coming up Thursday, November 7th, so get yourself set for that. We'll break and be back in just a moment, so stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Yeah. All right. Stupid question. We are going to give away, let me see, today here, 4-pack of tickets. Temple football taking on nationally ranked Cincinnati on Saturday at noon at the Link. And the question that we're going to go with concerns daffodils.
Daffodils. Oh. One of my favorite subjects.
Name the charity that runs a fundraiser called Daffodil Days.
Huh.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that, okay? Name the charity that runs a fundraiser called Daffodil Days. That's an interesting one.
Never heard of it.
Neither have I. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We'll go through some birthdays while we are awaiting. Your answer today is Thursday, October 16th. Casey, did you know that it was Flea's birthday today?
Yeah. Oh, is that what you were asking?
Early this morning, yeah. Casey was doing an old impression of a bit he did on the air 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it involved Flea, and I was just curious why you randomly started saying, "Hi, this is Flea."
Because I looked down and I saw that it was his birthday.
Ah.
There you go.
Okay, so.
Ah, this is Flea.
Flea's real name is Michael Balzeri. And he is an outstanding musician and has his book comes out this year. Or
that's
has
right.
Come out. I'm not sure when exactly that's being released or if it has already, but I'd be interested in checking out the stories of Flea.
So would I. He apparently started as a horn player and then moved on to the bass and was impressing seasoned musicians. That's it. He played that kind of horn when he was a kid.
Yeah, his dad was a jazz musician, and that's where he got the influence from. But I just remember the first time seeing that dude on stage, I'm like, that guy is out of his goddamn
crazy
mind.
Crazy.
Just insane as far as his, you know, head thrashing and jumping around, wearing his underwear. And on top of that, really aggressive bass player. So Flea, and he's an actor, too, by the way.
Where does the name come from, by the way?
That's
we ever know?
I don't know. I know
he's demeaned.
Maybe because he's tiny.
Maybe because he's small. I think that might be it. I don't know, Nick.
I don't know that, but I know that the book comes out next year. So it was supposed to come out this month, and then it was supposed to come out next month. And then a few days ago, he announced on Twitter that the book is going to be postponed until 2019.
Okay.
Due to some scheduling conflict.
It's just one final step, and that is he has to write it.
Oh. Yes. Yeah.
But otherwise, the book cover looks great.
Let me see if there's anything about his name, his nickname. I don't really see. I'd have to dig through his Wikipedia page to see a little bit more about it. But
you would assume because of his stature. Yeah. He's just a little guy.
He's 56 today, Mr. Flea. Happy birthday. Also, in the music realm, we have a few musical birthdays. Chad Gray, who's the lead singer of Mudvayne and Hell Yeah. He is 47 years old. Is this Hell Yeah?
No, this is Mudvayne.
This is Mudvayne, sorry.
What's funny is I'm not
well-versed in this song.
Neither am I.
Yeah.
I know this song. We play this song a lot as bumper music.
I really like this.
Yeah.
Aggressive, ballsy.
Yep. Chad Gray celebrating his 47th birthday today. We also have John Mayer. I love this song.
I always have loved it.
It's just a fun tune. He's got a great voice. He's an outstanding guitarist, and he has had more women.
Oh, to smell his hands.
Of the top 10 variety.
He really has.
He's just.
I mean, he had a long run with Katy Perry. That alone would put him in the Hall of Fame. I'll tell you what, one of the most impressive things I ever saw him do was a very simple thing, and then when I'm talking about Katy Perry, was the. There was an Apple Steve Jobs keynote speech for Mac, and they had him, I think, when they were introducing GarageBand or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He came out and he played the guitar, and you could just see how amazing he is as a guitar player.
Yeah, and I think he did this something similar, but he was used in a commercial. Was it for Volkswagen?
Might have been.
Where he basically, I think, plugged into like a Volkswagen Beetle. And just shredded there, and you're like, oh, this guy can actually.
No, he's really good.
He's not just like some pop guy. And now he's the Jerry Garcia. He tours with the Dead a lot. So
I remember he got to induct Albert King into the Rock and Roll Hall. Or no, was it Albert King into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or was it? No. Oh man,
come on, do it.
What?
I believe in you.
Okay, so there are some blues legends, and he's a really big fan of blues guitars. I think it was Albert King. I think he got to induct Albert King into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he showed a picture of his high school yearbook, and in his high school yearbook, he had a quote from Albert King.
Wow!
So he's not just he didn't just all of a sudden when he grew up started. He was a fan of the blues when he was a kid.
That's cool.
So I think it's really cool. So he's celebrating his 41st birthday today. So is John Heder, Napoleon Dynamite, same age, 41 years old today. Have not seen much from him in the past couple of years.
He's a distant relative of Isaac Ahema?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's the word.
Yeah, somehow or another they're related through marriage, and I forgot who it was.
I think Vice's father.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think in a way he's a cousin or a nephew or something along those lines. I remember that a while back.
All right. Because he's Mormon as well.
Yes, he is. I didn't like Napoleon Dynamite. Then I loved Napoleon Dynamite. Then I got tired of Napoleon Dynamite. And then I saw it again not that long ago, and I like it again.
You like it again?
Yes.
What about Blades of Glory?
It's great. You know what? I never saw it.
Oh, my God.
I never saw
it. It's well worth seeing. It's the epitome of junk food movie. You'll probably think, the first time you see it.
Yeah.
Then you'll watch it again, and you'll love it. I do.
He is 41 today, John Heater. Tim Robbins, who has been in our studio before.
Yes.
Is celebrating the big 6-0 today.
Some amazing performances.
Yeah.
For the first time, the Jacob's Ladder, Bull Durham, earlier stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Shawshank.
Yep.
Amazing.
Pick a Destiny.
Yeah. So good.
That's so great.
His comedic abilities are great, but that character in Pick a Destiny, which if you've never seen, you need to see that as well.
Yeah, his... Just the way he talks, his black teeth, and he's this old grizzled roadie from the day, and he's hilarious.
I think he came in, and we warned him ahead of time. We're going to fanboy all over him, and we did, and he was a cool guy. Yeah,
is he in Zoolander without a speaking role?
I don't know.
Is he one of the brothers?
No, that's Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn.
And he doesn't say anything.
Right, he just sits there.
Movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Tim Robbins is 60 today. Suzanne Summers.
Wow. Come and knock on our door.
That's right. She is 72 years old today. And not only Three's Company, but Thighmaster commercials.
The famous Thighmaster and American Graffiti. She was the blonde in the Corvette.
Well, she was also, obviously, we know her from Three's Company, but anybody who is my age or a little bit younger remembers TGIF, and she was part of that whole lineup.
Oh, that with Patrick Duffy.
Yeah, Step by Step. Is that the...
So yeah, that was
Step
the show, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So
I've never watched that.
No?
Mm-mm.
You're probably too cool and you're out on Friday nights.
I loved her, too, but I never got into that show.
She left, in one of the biggest missteps in her career. I mean, she managed to pull it back together, but she left Three's Company assuming that she was the star.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out John Ritter was the star.
Right.
And she was eye candy, certainly.
She was a big part of the success of that show. But, I mean, he was the star. But, you know, she wanted to make more money. They weren't giving it up. And she held out, and they didn't go for it.
They did not.
And the show didn't last a whole hell of a lot longer after she left anyway, did it?
I think it went on. Because
there was a number of people filled her spot.
Yeah.
So it was on.
I had to get a cup of coffee.
I know, sorry. We just stopped.
Thought you guys were chatting for a minute. Sorry.
No, but I love it.
It gets cold and I got to drink it now.
Sometimes you'll see that like on late night shows where they'll take a look like them.
I think we should all.
I think we can tell you about
it. We should all take a pause.
Hang on, guys, all
of us at once. Ready?
No, you guys go ahead and I'll tell you that it's a Suzanne Summers 72nd birthday.
I also think that perhaps she would have had like strength in numbers, kind of like what the Friends cast did.
Sure.
You know, like if I always want to call him Jack Tripper, but John Ritter and Joyce DeWitt, and you know, if they all got
together,
they weren't
as the battle goes, she was being handled by her husband. Her agent was her husband.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alan Hamill, I think his name was, and they hated him.
Because
he pushed her.
He pushed her
to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked her, didn't care for the middle roommate, and then I liked Terry. I don't know what
the
her
final
real,
one, yeah, Priscilla final, Barnes.
That's her name.
She's 72. Then you have Angela Lansbury, who is 93 years old today. Yep, she is. What was that?
Be our guest. Put our service
to the closest thing I have to Angela Lansbury.
That's all right.
You don't have the theme to Murder, She Wrote?
We provide the rest.
Yeah, she was in Beauty and the Beast, right?
Yeah.
And Murder, She Wrote obviously was huge for her.
She was in the movie Samson and Delilah. She was an early... You know, screen actress going back decades and decades and decades.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks,
absolutely.
Man. I loved that as a kid.
So she's been married twice. Her second marriage lasted 54 years, and then I guess he. Oh no, I was gonna say they got divorced after 54 years, but he passed away. My apologies.
This isn't working out.
She's 93 today, and then Nick, pull up that birthday I had up
Barry
there.
Corbin.
Yeah, Barry Corbin. The actor, you know him. He was he played Maurice on Northern Exposure, and in War Games, he was a general.
Yes,
who had the great line, "Well, I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it'd help."
He always played that kind of guy.
Yep, he's 78 years old today. I always liked him.
Do you know where you saw him most recently? He is, I believe he's on Modern Family. Is he Cam's father?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
he's still acting, Steve. Yeah, he's Merle Tucker.
Yeah,
so a big burly. It's Manly hilarious. Man is Cam's
so both he and Ed, there was an episode that was very funny. The dads were fighting over which one of their sons was the woman in the relationship.
Oh, my God.
And it was a point of contention. It was very funny.
So he's turning 78 today. A happy birthday. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. And name the charity that runs a fundraiser called Daffodil Days. And I'm going to go to Casey. Our phones don't work.
What?
Wait, on the board it
on
doesn't
the board
work.
It doesn't work.
Hang on 1 second. Let's
can
see.
We do this?
Yeah, we could do this.
All right, because I do want to get a
don't
call.
They know we're America's feel good show?
Who's they?
I don't know.
All right, I think it looks like it's working.
Yep.
I think Casey fixed it.
Oh my God.
Wow. I'm gonna go to Eric. Hey Eric, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good, Eric. So what is the name of the charity that runs a fundraiser called Daffodil Days?
Hookers Without Borders.
Hookers Damn Without it. Borders. Right? He got it.
No.
Oh,
it's very close. It's very close. But
I want in on that organization.
I appreciate it. I love Hookers Without Borders.
But you can't
corral
hookers.
Why is this the first time we're hearing of that?
I know.
I will go to Denise. Hi, Denise. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Denise. So what charity runs a fundraiser called Daffodil Days?
The American Cancer Society.
It's the Cancer Society. Yeah, hang on, Denise. We'll get your information. And you just got yourself a 4-pack of tickets as Temple football. Yeah, our music didn't work.
All right, now I got to figure out.
Let me try it again here. Yeah, it didn't work.
All right, well, I know why.
Temple football battles nationally ranked Cincinnati Saturday at noon at Lincoln Financial Field, presented by Temple University Alumni Association. You can be a part of homecoming at the game. You can visit owltix.com. Will it work now?
Okay. He will work it. He has the magic touch. Today he is Cyborg.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Marks.
Yep.
Get set. Go.
There it is. You did it. All right, let's get into the entertainment stuff. I have a little follow-up to the big announcement yesterday with the announcement of the fact that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are expecting a little bit more on that. The baby is due to arrive in the spring of 2019.
All right.
Meghan has had her 12-week scan and is probably out of her first trimester, but it is unclear when she became pregnant, though she safely avoided a royal scandal and was definitely not pregnant on her May wedding day, they're saying, by the math that's been done.
Sure.
When she emerged from the airport in Australia on Monday, the world observed that she was holding binders in front of her stomach. Eagle-eyed observers also detected a bump under her Givenchy dress at Princess Eugene's wedding.
Hey, are you allowed to fly at that stage in the pregnancy? Don't they discourage that?
No,
you can fly then.
It's, fly
it's third trimester, it. I think, when you don't want to fly.
I'm sure Eugene!
Is it Eugene or Eugenie?
Eugenie.
Yep. All right. So anyhow, she was wearing that. They said they noticed a little bump at the
wedding. Of course.
Wedding.
Yeah. She looks phenomenal. She has the I don't know. Do you now when someone announces they're pregnant, do you just now psychosomatically see a glow? She's a beautiful woman to begin with.
Not me. Yeah. I don't really. So no.
But they saw like people were lighting their cigarettes off her. So yeah, that's yeah.
She's hot.
She's hot.
Top picks for the names. The royal bookies are saying Prince James for a boy.
And Honey Boo Boo if it's a girl.
No, Princess Victoria.
Oh, that's a name that hasn't been used in a while.
Yes.
So that would be a nice honor to the family.
Queen Victoria.
And the history, yes. Mm-hmm.
Royal position, as far as the current line to the throne.
We
discussed a little bit of this. No, I don't think it was doggy. It was probably missionary knowing those guys. Or maybe they did the Eiffel Tower.
Don't look at my face. Yeah, I do. Look away.
So, all right. Do you think? And I want to ask you, Kath. Is it a relief for her to have a limited names? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, all right. Well, we're royalty, so it's kind of like we can really only pick from this column. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? What, a relief?
That it's they don't have to go through a billion names. There's sort of pre-vetted names that are acceptable.
I don't think
to
it's stressful. I think it's fun to pick the name.
In watching the Queen, the television show, the series, a big part of being in the being a part of the royal family is name.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And there was a whole scandal amongst them about using the name Mountbatten for Philip and these and it was scandalous amongst the family members.
It's a huge thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was asking, Kath. It's sort of a two-part question. It's not necessary. Is it a relief or does it kind of suck that you're limited to?
But it's not like you have five names to choose from. I think there's a decent amount that they can choose from.
I think it might make things a little easier.
Like Stormy.
Yeah, Stormy.
Queen Stormy.
Well, I mean, we all know somebody who, believe it or not, is pregnant with...
a royal child?
Kind of. Okay. It's a descendant of John Adams.
Who?
I don't want to say it on the air.
All right, but, you said it on the air.
But I want to say who it is.
Okay.
Because I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not, but I can say it to you guys.
Has this not been announced?
No, it's announced, but I just don't know if that part of it all is
okay.
But the baby's name is John.
I know a guy whose dad worked on the set of Grizzly Adams.
Okay. And is the baby's
name
Grizzly?
What did he name his baby?
It was Cub.
Cub.
But, but she, who is carrying the baby, doesn't really...
She doesn't know?
No, she doesn't have a say. Baby's right. John.
I mean,
I knew someone who worked on the set of Grizzly Adams.
I mean, it's not as cool.
It's not, you know.
But then again, we don't know this person. Well, write the name down so we can see who it is.
Yeah,
you
Casey.
Know. You don't know?
No, this is the first time I've ever heard of it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If I had known that someone who works on this show had sex with John Adams, I certainly would have been aware of it.
We would have taken note.
Yeah, we would have taken note and probably made it a topic.
No, I actually have told all you guys. Yeah, I had a conversation with all of you.
We don't know who that is.
We don't know who that is.
I do know who it is, but I never.
I didn't know she was pregnant.
Yes. Look at your emails. You see the name all the time.
Uh-huh.
I don't look at my emails. that doesn't help me stall.
No, all right, anyhow, moving along.
Right, hang on.
Prince.
Are you drawing a picture of her?
Yeah. So here we go. The royal position, the current line of throne is, and we discussed this a little bit yesterday. First, it's Prince Charles, then Prince William, then Prince George. And then it moves on to Princess Charlotte, Prince Louis, and then Prince Harry. And this would make the new royal tot seventh in the line for the throne.
When do we get to John Goodman?
I don't know when John Goodman will officially. Are you talking
King
about
Ralph?
King Ralph? Yeah. Meanwhile, in other royal baby news, Pippa Middleton was seen smiling as she entered the Lindo wing of St. Mary's Hospital.
So she was smiling.
And the Lindo wing...
And this in from London, Pippa was spotted smiling.
The Lindo wing is where Kate welcomed her three children. Pippa's husband, James Matthews, entered as well, carrying what looked like large overnight bags.
Ooh.
Is she pregnant?
Yes, I believe she is.
Pippa pregnant?
I think she is.
All right, then maybe they're settling in, and I don't know if she's getting a C-section.
The Lindo wing is right next to the chicken wing, which is a really great fast food place outside of Buckingham Palace.
The Lindo wing.
What is Pippa an actual name? What is her real name?
Pippins.
Philippa Charlotte Middleton.
Pippa!
Is her actual name. Well, okay, moving on. Let's go to Will Smith for a moment. He has spoken candidly about the difficult times during his marriage with Jada Pinkett Smith in a clip from an upcoming episode of Jada's Facebook talk show called The Red Table Talk. Will opened up about feeling miserable or failing miserably in his marriage. And I think
he actually felt miserable as well.
Do you have a clip, maybe?
Yeah, we do.
You sent him over. So we'll see.
You know, this Facebook show, if you're not familiar, Preston, it's basically she brings in family members and they lay it out. I mean, they end up crying, and it's almost like family therapy.
And that's kind of, I think that's what they see it as.
Yeah, and everyone's had a moment where they've broken down crying.
Oh, Marissa didn't get the clips sent over.
So. It's on 9-ball, Marissa.
All right, well, anyhow, I'll tell you what he said. He failed miserably in his marriage while sitting alongside his wife, mother-in-law, Adrienne Jones, and daughter, Willow Smith. So his wife, mother-in-law and daughter are there when he's talking about this stuff. Will told his daughter, there was a period where mommy woke up and cried for 45 days straight. I started keeping a diary. And then Jada replied, you missed some days.
Well, she, but she was chuckling. You could clearly tell that it, you know, whatever it was behind them. But so he goes on, he continues.
Will said it was every morning. I think that's the worst I ever felt in our marriage. I was failing miserably.
By the way, you sound exactly like him.
I do. Thank you. I tried.
That's unbelievable.
I tried to put it on. Yeah. I wish I could do a Will Smith impression. That'd be great. So anyhow, the new season of her show kicks off on October 22nd.
So the issue apparently was that he played b-ball with his friends a lot.
Outside of the school?
Outside of the school.
Oh, man.
And she felt he should have been working on the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Were there some kids that stopped by?
Yeah.
And, she sent them.
Oh, man.
She was behind it all.
They were probably up to no good.
They were up to no
and
good.
She had no idea. And mm-hmm. so needless to say, he moved to his...
But he just got him one little fight. I mean,
yeah, his mom got scared.
It's up on the guy's shoulders, Preston. Yeah.
Anyway.
And spinning. You know the way gang fights go on? They push you on your shoulders and spin you around.
Spin you around, you get so dizzy. So dizzy.
All right. X-Men director Bryan Singer is preemptively responding to an upcoming Esquire magazine piece that he implies will revisit sexual abuse allegations against him. Singer suggested on Instagram that the article will be released in conjunction with the upcoming Freddie Mercury biopic Bohemian Rhapsody. He wrote, I have known for some time that Esquire magazine may publish a negative article about me. They've contacted my friends, colleagues, and people I don't even know. In today's climate where people's careers are being harmed by mere accusations, what Esquire is attempting to do is a reckless disregard for the truth, making assumptions that are fictional and irresponsible.
So there was a whole bunch of things that came out a few years ago. Nick, you read the article.
Yeah.
I read the article as well.
Fascinating stuff. And he would have these parties. And I believe that part of the issue here was that there was always consent.
Yeah.
And so they were...
And that sort of was verified.
Yeah. They were willing young men. But there were implications that were kind of creepy. But I don't think ever illegal.
Well, last year, Cesar Sanchez Guzman said the singer raped him in 2003 at a yacht party. He was 17 at the time.
Well, yikes. Then that's different.
That might be the issue. And yep. I don't know what the age of consent is in California or...
I don't know.
Not really sure. He was also accused by Michael Egan of assault in 2014, though Egan later retracted allegations. Singer was also sued anonymously in 2014 for assault, but the suit was later dropped. He went on to say the article will attempt to rehash false accusations and bogus lawsuits. This article will misuse quotes from sources that will claim to have intimate knowledge of my personal life. It will also attempt to establish guilt by association simply because of people I've either known or met in the past. They will be attempting to tarnish a career I've spent 25 years to build. He was fired from Bohemian Rhapsody 2 weeks before it wrapped, reportedly for unprofessional behavior such as failing to show up on set.
Bryan Singer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, really?
Yeah, Dexter Fletcher replaced him, but Singer is receiving credit as the director.
For the last 2 weeks of filming, it was not Bryan Singer directing.
That is correct, yes.
Huh, yeah. I had not heard that story.
Yeah. Nicole Kidman is normally mum on her 11-year marriage to Tom Cruise, but she is opening up about
mum because he's holding his hand over her mouth.
Gaffing tape.
One aspect of their partnership. She said, being married to Tom Cruise at 22 is something I'm always reluctant to talk about because I'm married now to the man who is my great love. Of course, that's Keith Urban.
She's dreamy.
And it almost feels disrespectful. She writes in an essay for New York Magazine.
What a waste of time that was.
Which focuses on the theme of women and power. And she goes on by saying, that said, I got married very young. But it definitely wasn't power for me. It was protection. She said, I married for love, but being married to an extremely powerful man kept me from being sexually harassed. I would work, but I was still very much cocooned. So when I came out of it at 32, 33, it's almost like I had to grow up. The 51-year-old adds that she later had her share of Me Too moments. She said, but do I want to expose them in an article? No. Do they come out in my work? Absolutely, she said. I am open and raw. I want to have my well of experience and emotion tapped into, used, and I'm not just talking about sexual harassment. I'm talking about loss, death, the full array of life. But it has to be the right people so it's not abused again. I mean, she doesn't say a whole lot, but she never, ever,
the
ever.
Subtext there is that she lives under constant threat of attack by Scientologists.
And
it's
Zeno.
Right in there. It's between the words, Preston.
No, but she never talks about Tom Cruise, so it's extraordinary.
It's obviously of that time period.
That she's mentioning.
One thing I've never been able, I don't think we've ever been able to hash out, is what the situation is with the kids that they had together and whether she gets to see those kids.
Yeah, I mean, the the rumor is that he never, he can see them, but he does not.
Not those kids. Those ones he does see.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, they'll go to basketball games. They make public appearances together. I think
they actually are with him.
Yeah, I think Nicole never sees those kids.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, they were not. She's the absentee parent.
No.
I got that backwards.
They were not biological. They were adopted children.
Right.
And so Tom still spends time with them, but it's not spent time with Surrey.
It's Surrey that I'm thinking of.
Yep, disconnected. Yeah. Years.
Yeah.
Has not seen dad.
Okay. Let's see here. Hillary Duff is ready to welcome her little girl into the world, so much so the 31-year-old younger star took to social media to tell fans that she ate a special salad in an attempt to move things along. Okay. She captioned it, "This salad is supposed to make you go into labor." And then she tagged, Coyote or it's C-A-I-O-T-I pizza. That's the name of the place. I don't know if it's pronounced Coyote or Chiote or whatever. But she said, "Coyote Pizza, don't let me down." So E! News.
So is that the thing that is supposed to open things up and get the baby on the birth?
Well, they reach out to the pizza joint, and right, they told the site, "We do have a salad that supposedly makes people go into labor." they say it's in the dressing. Which is just a balsamic, and there are special herbs that make women have contractions and go into labor. None of the servers know exactly.
Interesting.
What is in the special herbs mix, only the kitchen knows. So word has spread, as the restaurant explains, there's a whole baby board on the wall, and there are at least 15 to 20 pregnant women a day who come in and order the salad. The ingredients in the salad are romaine, watercress, gorgonzola, and walnuts, with balsamic dressing and the special herbs. It's $13.95 for a full salad and $10.95 for a half.
For triplets.
Mm. Yeah. What is that stuff that they give to pregnant women? Is it called Pitocin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they put Pitocin in it?
A little Pitocin and vinegar?
Mm-hmm. That is a brilliant marketing campaign.
Mm-hmm. Even if it has absolutely
Even if it doesn't work at all.
Right.
If you get one or two women that say that they went into labor shortly after eating this thing, and then you take a picture of them and their baby and you hang it up on the wall.
Unbelievable.
And you have a baby wall.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Restaurants, take heed.
Yes, you should do it.
They actually sell this dressing on the side, too. This Coyote, or however you pronounce it, is maternity salad dressing.
No.
You can buy it to go.
That's a brilliant idea. Duff is expecting...
Still have any of that fire in the hole barbecue sauce?
Duff is expecting her arrival with boyfriend Matthew Coma any day now. She shares a 6-year-old son, Luca, with her ex, Mike Comrie.
Interesting.
Khloe Kardashian showed off her figure in a series of Instagram posts as she and her baby daddy, Tristan Thompson, reportedly having relationship issues.
Do you like what you see? Take a picture. It lasts longer.
I'd like to see.
Oh, yeah. I bet you would, you naughty boy.
Kardashian famously...
You're a naughty boy.
Kardashian...
You are a naughty boy.
Famously welcomed her daughter, True, 6 months ago, just days after Thompson was caught. After Thompson was caught on video cheating on her.
Yes.
Kardashian captioned the shots, "Revenge Body."
Yeah, that's her show, Revenge
Likely
Body.
In reference to her show, the same name, but also fans believe a reference to her struggles with Thompson.
I think it's over. I think they're heading towards the announcement that it is over.
I think you're right.
Because there was they had the initial thing while she was pregnant, that video surfaced, and then after the fact, it was just a month ago, he was coming out of a club at 3 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm, surrounded by women. You can't do that.
A source says Khloe is a stable, content.
No, I live in a stable. You don't understand. It's hard because my hooves crush the floor.
Khloe is stable, content, and very happy with being a mom and how things are going.
I like being a mom.
And how things are going with True right now, according to the source. As for
Spandau Ballet.
As for Tristan, things are still quite up in the air between them.
I will kill him.
Things seem more unstable in the relationship now, but she's taking it all in stride.
She has surgically altered herself to look like her sisters.
Steve, you're right.
Yeah.
That doesn't even look like her.
I know.
We have a picture of her, of this post that says Revenge Body. That doesn't even look anything like her. These people
and the way they butcher themselves. I'll tell you what, and I say this even though I make fun with the deep voice and everything and all that stuff. She's my favorite of the Kardashians. She seems the most down to earth.
Okay. I like Kourtney.
And also, I thought in her unsurgically altered stage, she looked like a regular person. She was an attractive woman regardless.
I agree.
Didn't need to do all this.
Yeah.
I think she kind of looks like her mom in this picture a little bit.
Yeah, she looks like every mom.
No, she doesn't look like every mom. She looks airbrushed. You know what I mean?
I'm saying. What are you saying?
That's not how you really look.
I will kill you.
All right. So anyway, what else we have here? So Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones. We last saw him spying on Daenerys and Jon's boat crews, and Peter Dinklage, who plays Tyrion, hints at the fate of the character in a conversation with Vulture about the Game of Thrones final season. He said, I feel very, very, and then he paused. I'm trying to find the right word, he said. I think he was given a very good conclusion. No matter what that is, he said, death can be a great way out.
So does it sound, sorry, so it sounds like he's going to die. I've heard he dies. Mm-hmm. I've heard that they put him in a shoebox and floated out on a pond and set it on fire.
With a match.
One match. Of Tyrion's trajectory on the show, he said he certainly developed a deeper sense of responsibility over the course of the show. He was a pretty irresponsible character to begin with. He used his position as the outcast of his family like an adolescent would.
Would you say, I've heard it, that he's the big star of Game of Thrones? Would you hold that?
He's my favorite character. He's
a favorite character,
yeah. Without question. He said he pushed it in the Lannisters' faces. So the beauty of Tyrion is that he grew out of that mode in a couple of seasons and developed a strong sense of responsibility. Not morality, because he always had that, but what he what to do with his intelligence.
He had one of the best SNL appearances in a long time, and if you ever get a chance, watch, right?
Yeah.
Did you watch it? He was excellent. He's got tremendous range.
Yeah, he does.
From a character that intense to comedy.
One last story. Miss America chief Gretchen Carlson has been engaged in a series behind-the-scenes battle for control of the organization amid accusations from former crown holders of bullying, and she will not back down, Page Six reports. In addition to putting her professional reputation on the line, Carlson also sees her position as an important part of her mission to eventually run for public office.
Really?
Yeah, it's a source, tells Page Six. She will never back down because she said behind closed doors that resigning would be a documented reflection of her leadership ability.
I will kill you
if she runs for political office. So she might be trying
just off the deep end. There are a lot of people that are complaining about the way she's running the whole pageant, and she let the power get to her.
All right, let's get to the clips here, friends. The Gifted has entered its second season after a heartbreaking season one finale in which lifelong mission has changed. Here, actor Sean Teal talks about how the end of last season has affected his character, Eclipse.
Before, it was to try and find a coexistence between me and two humans and just carve out a special part of the world for him and his family to live in. It's amped up a gear. It's not as idealistic as that anymore. He has to be real. And there has to be a sort of a brutal pragmatism to him, which is that this isn't working.
You sound insane.
New episode of Gifted airs tonight, 8 o'clock on Fox.
Steve, is it any... Because listen, I watched, I think, the first three episodes, and then I have them all DVR'd. Is it worth going back to?
It is good. The problem is there's too much good on TV right now. So do you want to commit, or do you want to get on board something else?
I trust you.
It's good.
To tell me what to
do. It's good.
All right.
Would I say it's great? No, but it's solidly good.
Okay. Here's the next clip. The Kids Are All Right, a new sitcom that follows a traditional Irish Catholic family living in the 1970s, shows how hectic it is to live in a huge family. Here, Mary McCormack talks about applying her real life to being an on-screen mom of seven.
I am a mom of three, and so I connect with, people say, like, how do you do three? And I'm like, just not well. It's like I get a solid C+ most days.
Shut the fuck up!
The series premiere of The Kids Are All Right airs tonight, 8:30, and that is on ABC.
I love her.
What do I know her from?
You know her from Private Parts.
She was
Allison.
She's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
She was in What's the movie with the Morgan Freeman's the president and the
Deep Impact.
Deep Impact. Yeah, she was on the space shuttle.
That's right. And yeah, she's excellent.
She's good. All right. And that's what I have in entertainment news for you this morning. We got to take a break, dear friends. We're going to do that very thing, but not before I give away some of the first movie passes we have for the screening of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Ooh.
Rhapsody.
I like that.
Rhapsody.
It's like Jackass.
And it's going to be... It's going to be at the UA King of Prussia, Wednesday, October 27th at 7:30. And let's take five callers. We'll put you on the list, 215-263-WMMR. So you need to be there by 7 o'clock. Keep that in mind. It is a week from tomorrow. It hits theaters nationwide on Friday, November 2nd. So let's do that very thing. We'll take a break. Come back in a second. Stay with us, my friend.
The MMR mobile app. Use it to grab the MMR live stream and MMR audio on demand, including the Preston and Steve podcast. Bring up the live studio webcam, too. The MMR app is Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible, and it's free.
We'll do a couple of quick shout-outs, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I've got a bunch I need to catch up on, but this is a fresh one. It says, hey, my name is Amanda. Your son Carter took a picture of you and I together at Pickledelphia.
Pickledelphia.
I was wearing the Mutter Museum hoodie, and she's a fan of the Mutter Museum. I was wondering if you can get my boyfriend a big juicy shout out. His name is John. When you get a chance, we're celebrating 4 years together on October 25th.
Pickle shart.
And if you could, it would mean the world to me. I love listening to your show and podcast every single day. I'm not complete without it. You guys rock. And that's from Amanda Scott. So here's a shout out for you. And then this one says, hey, guys, wondering if you could do a last minute happy birthday shout out to my husband, Anthony Capelli from Vineland, New Jersey. Turns 42. He'll be working and listening. It'll certainly make him rosy-cheeked all day. And that's from Stacy Stoodle.
Stacy Stoodle.
There you go.
I love that name.
And then
sounds like a Harry Potter name.
And then one more. This is from Olympia, Washington. It says, hey, I was in Philadelphia a few weeks back for a work conference. I actually visited our studio. I wanted to give a shout-out to the amazing people that live and work in the city of Philadelphia. My hippy-dippy Pacific Northwest coworkers were really nervous about walking around the city because of the unfair reputation it has as being a bit rough. And we had an amazing time. I want to give Lydia at Mace's Crossing a specific shout-out as we closed every night out there, and she was just the best waitress ever. So we'll do one for her and a shout-out to the folks who work at the 17th and Arch Wawa.
Okay.
So that's for you guys. And she says, thanks and gadzooks. Love your city. That is Sarah Shenvert from Olympia, Washington.
See? Right?
So thank you, Sarah. We appreciate it.
You can come
that.
Here and have a good time and not get shot.
You most definitely can do that. Absolutely. I saw this article. I wanted to run this by you guys. And a team of researchers from the UK and Spain has found evidence showing that, contrary to popular belief, the orgasm face is not the same as the pain face.
The O face.
Yes. In their paper published in Proceedings in the National Academy of Sciences, the researchers described their research and what they found out. It has become common for people to equate the faces of people experience orgasm and those experience serious pain, likely due to Hollywood interpretations of both. But they're saying... They're saying they're different.
I think they're different.
Yes.
I would think that my O face is different than a pain face.
In this new effort, the researchers contradict such suggestions with evidence to the contrary. To learn more about the faces people make while experiencing orgasm or intense pain.
Just ask your neighbor through the window.
The researchers created a computer program to mimic a wide variety of gender-neutral facial expressions.
Ah.
And they started with mathematical models that have been developed for animating faces, and it included a core set of 42 movements representing different parts of the face.
Jesus, this is a scary... These computer renderings are pretty horrifying.
Aren't they? They're weird looking.
They're terrifying.
Yeah. I don't remember if it was something we talked about on the show or just something that I read a few years ago, but I think we brought it up. Is there still supposed to be a pretty close link between the pain center and the pleasure center in the brain and therefore similar sensations when it comes to the experience of pain versus the experience of pleasure?
I've always heard that, and I think you might have reported something similar to that a while ago, Preston, and that goes to the old thing, you know, pleasure and pain and the you know, dominatrix and autoerotic asphyxiation or some, things that take you in both realms.
Some people like that sensation.
I do not.
I don't like
I
it
do not like it at all.
Although when we did have Casey go to a dungeon,
yes,
he did find that the pain... While being followed by pleasure can be, it makes the pleasure heightened. Do you think have pain preceding it?
So the pleasure came in the form of like a
soft scratch.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the pain were things like clothespins.
Or just straight up whipping.
Okay.
So I don't want the whipping. I'll take a diminished and yet still pleasurable soft scratch over having my nipple set on fire.
When it comes to getting a massage, which is pleasurable, I like feeling like I got a workout, right? So I like feeling deep pressure, and I guess it's at some point there's pain attached to that, but that's obviously not at all sexual pain, you know. But like a good massage, I'll feel there'll be moments during a massage where it hurts.
Are you usual, Mr. McElroy? No, I know. Yeah. Well, to me, I feel like a deep tissue massage is there's an element of pleasure, but sometimes you're getting worked out.
It's uncomfortable, right? Yeah.
So in this research, they asked 80 adults, half male, half female, to determine if the expressions showed orgasm, pain, or something else. They used the results to build better models and then asked another 104 people to assess the simulated facial expressions. The researchers found a clear distinction between perceptions of pain and pleasure. Most of the volunteers agreed on which was which, but there was more to the study. The volunteers had also been divided into two cultural groups, half from Western cultures and half from Asian cultures. Both groups saw clear differences between orgasmic faces and pain faces.
No.
But they differed markedly in what they saw as the face of a person experiencing an orgasm.
So we're looking at four computer-generated faces here. It looks like they're at a Dane Cook show. They're just smiling and sort of chuckling.
Here's how it played out. Those from Western cultures tended to choose wide-eyed expressions with gaping mouths.
Yeah.
Asian volunteers, on the other hand, chose smiling faces with tightened lips.
Yeah! This is really great. It sounds like a bowel movement. All right. Well, what do you imagine, if you can, for me, what would you imagine your face looks like?
Oh, God. I don't want to know.
I think I'm kind of like, you know, like, you know what I'm saying?
I think I have an open mouth.
Do you? Like, wide open? Really?
Something like that.
It's so funny that you have no interest in seeing your own face.
No, my God. People who videotape themselves having sex. No. Are you kidding me?
But seeing your partner's face, seeing your girlfriend's face or your wife's face, like that's a turn on, though. Like I am turned off by my own
face. I think I look like Bogart.
I'm looking at these pictures of these simulated
it looks horrible.
Of what's considered pain and orgasm.
That was good.
I'm curious.
Let's go again.
If there's anyone listening who has been turned off by their partner's orgasm.
Have
face.
You?
No.
Ever?
No.
Nick?
But by my partner?
Yeah.
No, total turn on.
Right. I think when you, especially you're delivering pleasure, it's a reaffirmation that you're on your game.
Yeah. But they might, somebody might contort their face into something. You're like, oh my God.
Like a really bad O face.
What
is that?
Yeah.
If you look like it's like the girl in the ring, you know, you don't want to have that happen.
I've
okay, let's have
I've seen unresponsive faces before.
It's such a,
and it's like,
it's bad.
Are
you alive?
I've done this before and it's worked and it doesn't seem to be working on you.
Let me tell you something. It's not working now. So whatever Mr. Magic brings to the other ladies, not bringing it tonight.
Mm-hmm. The researchers suggest the differences could be explained by, as far as the cultural differences, explained by fundamental cultural beliefs such as the value that is placed on behavior related to high or low arousal states.
I thought you were giving the title of the Borat movie.
No. The researchers contended that their study was more than just for curiosity's sake. They believe their findings could be useful in studies looking at how humans interact from a cultural perspective.
Okay, so up on the screen, Preston, we have the clown faces. Clowns when they have orgasms.
I think those are heat.
Oh, are they?
Yes, and the red and blue determines where where the heat in the face is. Somebody texts and says, oh, faces look the same as pre-sneeze faces.
Yeah, a little bit. Yes.
I'm making my pre-sneeze face. No, I don't look. There's no way I look like that.
Maybe you
do. Let me see your pre-sneeze face, Casey. Stop it.
Do it again.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to make you sneeze so hard.
Sneeze all over your face.
I'm going to sneeze all over your face.
Oh, that's so
I don't
gross.
Know. I just,
sorry, just sneezed on your back.
Oh, my God. I'm going to sneeze all over your face.
Kathy, there's a question for you. What sneeze would you rather have
I'm
going to
sneeze
your...
you a pearl necklace.
Sneeze
I think
on my
the
face.
Sneeze face might be accurate.
Yeah. Really?
A little bit. Yeah.
I purposely didn't ask.
Hey,
the...
right,
yeah, I want to see your pre-sneeze face, please.
All right,
all right, I know you're laughing. Yeah, about
it. Serious.
This is Kathy's orgasm face.
Do you think Guppies is still open?
Oh, God.
What time does Target.com close?
Oh, my God. Will this ever end? I'm so hungry.
Target.com?
That closes? They open at 6, I think. Okay. Yeah, that was great. You felt great. It was awesome. You're the king.
All right, now do me a favor.
Target.
So, okay. So you made that face, and now just go, ew, like that. Yeah, it's the same face.
Yeah, same face.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same face.
No, look, watch.
I just bought this comforter.
Watch. Hold on.
I
difference.
Just dry cleaned this comforter.
Watch. All right, here's pre sneeze. Wait.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah.
And then here's ew.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Your pre sneeze could I think looks a mildly orgasmic.
Yeah, yeah.
Your ew face is a boner killer.
Let me go to. I'm going to go to Jen here. Hi, Jen. Good morning.
Morning. Hi, I love you guys.
Thank you so much. So your partner's O-face. You want to talk about that?
Well, ex-partner. And
ex-partner. Okay, let's be clear on that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, his O-face was, like, really, really angry. Like, he was like, while he was, and I was like, okay, this isn't going to work.
So Jen, like, gritted teeth and squinted eyes? Like, or
gritted teeth, squinted eyes, like, angry, scrunched up nose.
Wow. And so
and
was...
Like a Minuteman, so I'm like, yo, I'm the one that should be angry.
See, it was a Minuteman. That's why he was so angry.
Yeah, right.
Damn it! That was 51 seconds.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and it was disconcerting to you to see that looking at you, right?
Yeah, I don't want that looking at me. No, that's very uncomfortable.
It's not the kind of thing you can mention to some. I mean, I guess you could, but it borders on involuntary. I mean, you're.
I guess. But
Phil. Yeah, no, but you know what?
They could wear a mask.
Could you put this on, please?
Here, could you wear this Pikachu mask?
Yeah. All right, so, but that kind of did it for you, Jen? I mean, as far as ending it? Okay.
I can see that.
Thanks, Jen.
If it's troubling, you don't want that. Yeah.
Text here says, I look like Lee Harvey Oswald's face when Jack Ruby shoots him.
Huh.
Which is like this.
Oh, whoa.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He had the ooh look on his face, like I've just been shot. Let me go to Ricky. Hi, Ricky. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up, man?
So this girl I was with when I was in college, her O face, she'd like screw her eyes shut so much it distorted her face, and she would just shriek like a banshee.
And so much so, you had to break it off?
Yeah, it was like to the point that my like the hall monitor thing for the dorms would like come the one time. Like, that's not okay.
You know, people were coming because they were thinking there was a murder going on.
Yeah,
I think so. You also you're dealing with two things. You're dealing with the volume, and the drama around it. I think, but though in just the face itself, which is the focus here, I think mine is probably a bit more controlled, but happy.
Yeah.
You know,
I have no idea. I've never even thought about it. I wonder what I look like right now, like right in the middle.
Yeah,
did you two thumbs up?
But the noise thing, that if you live in an apartment, that can be a problem.
Oh my God,
that can be definitely an issue.
Well, in a dorm situation, what about you're in a room with someone else?
Oh, man.
Who's trying to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other series of ninja-style sex.
I had that college roommate, and he didn't really care about the ninja style. He just was, he was just happy to be getting laid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Dave Taylor.
I didn't do the college thing, but, I was in a band, so sometimes it happened in the same room as other people.
Yeah.
And,
But that's like...
What are you going to do?
That's post-show. Where's my jelly meat? Drunk.
Oh, my God. Oh my! I don't even know if I could share this story.
Okay.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Think about it.
Oh man!
Yep. Was it you?
Is
or...
it something you want to reveal? Because we'll bring it up for the rest of your life.
So it was you, not a bandmate.
No, it was both of us.
Okay.
We each had our own companionship in the same room.
You're steady.
No, let me backtrack. In the same trailer.
In the same double wide.
Okay. I got a trailer.
And all of a sudden, I just start hearing, oh, man, I can't do this.
Go ahead.
I start hearing.
Sometimes it's a suction.
So somebody was trying to play the trombone?
Good Lord.
And we all started cracking up.
Wow.
And stopped what we were doing because it was so, yeah.
It was too John Philip Sousa-esque.
There you go. It's another thing. See, once I thought I've shared everything with
then
you guys.
Then there's that story.
Then there's another one.
Kathy, do you have anything similar to that?
No. Fortunately, I didn't experience
Steve
that.
Steve is like a jug.
Yeah. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes.
I could call Richie and he would verify that.
Memories, right?
Yeah, right. The good old days.
In the trailer.
So apparently the O face is clearly different from the pain face.
I've never had
people,
a...
Or people interpret it differently.
Yes. When
you
it's know,
you can tell the difference.
When you care about the person you're with and you see that face of pleasure, it's wonderful.
Let's see. Is this true? It says my ex's O face was her uncontrollably laughing for 20 to 30 seconds. First couple times I was pretty pissed because I thought she was laughing with me.
Laughing at her or laughing? I think he or whoever meant laughing
at me.
At me.
Yeah, I think that's probably what they meant. But I guess maybe, you know, do some people laugh when it's like get all giggly?
Yeah.
At the moment?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. It does happen. And some people lose their bowel control.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, absolutely.
It's
an interesting thing. You're incredibly vulnerable when that's going on because, you know, you've turned yourself over. And
especially if it's with someone you've never shared that with.
Sure. And you're worried about so many things.
Yeah.
And the least now you need to know that you need to worry about what your face looks like at the point of orgasm.
Yeah, I'm sorry if now you're going to think about that. I apologize. And anybody listening who now, you know, will at that moment be preoccupied with the thought of what they look like.
Well, that's why, honestly, keep a mask on the nightstand.
That's probably
pick your favorite
idea.
Celebrity.
Yeah. Okay. Anyhow, I thought that was really interesting.
It is wild.
And worth sharing. Another thing that is worth sharing, Steve, totally, completely not having to do anything with that. Today is Bosses Day. It's National Boss Day or Bosses Day. And it's not a public holiday, so businesses have normal hours, but it's dedicated to all employers and provides a prospect of improving the liaison between employers and their staff.
So what is the origin of Bosses Day? Because I've heard it mentioned. Who started Bosses Day? Was it, in fact, bosses?
The concept began in 1958 when Patricia Bays Horosky, then an employee at State Farm Insurance Company in Deerfield, Illinois.
I am so goddamn bored.
Registered the holiday with the United States Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
She designated October 16th as the special day because it was her father's birthday. Her purpose was to designate the day to show appreciation for her boss and other bosses. And she also helped to improve the relationship between employees and supervisors.
I'd appreciate it if you stopped talking about orgasms.
Yes, that's right. And for Boss's Day, we decided to talk about orgasms at 7:15 this morning.
I had to dump out when you talked about sneezing on the face.
Right.
Is there an opposite day? Is there an employee's day?
Labor Day.
Maybe. Oh, so we get the day off.
The worker. Boss's Day is an observance and is not a nationwide public holiday in the United States. If it falls on a weekend, then it is celebrated on the working day closest to it.
So if it falls on the weekend, you get the day off.
So it says here, yeah, right.
true boss fashion.
What do people do? Many workers dedicate this day to their supervisors for various reasons, such as supporting staff with their jobs and careers.
Are gifts involved?
The observance also gives employees a chance to recognize those in supervisory positions.
Do we need to get Bill a cake?
Some people give their bosses cards, gift certificates, or flowers on Boss's Day.
What do you want to get Bill?
Fill his room with flowers. Like, fill it.
This observance is becoming...
Where is his room now? Everything's
downstairs.
Is he in the bathroom now at this point?
Yes.
No, he has an office downstairs.
Yeah, our offices are in transition right now. They're remodeling, totally gutted the areas. And so Bill's old office used to be on this floor, and now it's completely...
Down on the third floor.
Somewhere else in the building. We're on the
where he listens
floor.
To his favorite show, John DeBella.
Okay. He's right next to him.
All the time, yeah.
So anyway, if you would like to say Happy Bosses Day to your boss, today would be the day to do it.
are we missing the mark? Am I not getting them something?
He has our love.
That's it.
Chose. Every day.
What do you want? You want our love and Cho's. Get him some from Cho's.
I got balloons down there.
Here's a VHS tape.
I went down to Cho's the other day.
Here's a copy of Short Circuit.
And Mrs. Cho was asleep.
Really?
Yes. By the way, it's a little convenience store in the basement of our building. And so I didn't know what to do. So I just...
yell at her.
Hey! God damn it! Yeah, I hate you!
I just cleared my throat, you know, I was being polite.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you, jerk off.
Yeah, so.
You're very funny, radio man. You're very funny.
She woke up and I bought a lot.
You're going to get your copy of Cherry Magazine?
I can get Cherry Magazine.
They don't have any porn in
there. I don't think they have dirty magazines.
Don't
there.
They?
I don't think so. Don't
damn
think so.
It.
Lottery tickets and soft pretzels.
But they do have lottery tickets, and today is the Mega Millions. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Do they down there?
Yeah. Right. Yes. And it's probably going to surpass. It'll be the biggest one ever today.
Wouldn't it be wild if the winning ticket was purchased at Cho's? Because they'd get a chunk of it. I think the first thing they do would be close Cho's.
Dreaming of the day when I wake up in the morning and the headline is, lottery ticket sold in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Because I will... I'm really...
To Kevin Reardon.
I'm starting to believe that I'm going to win it.
Are you?
Yes.
You have a feeling.
Have any of these
other feelings ever panned out?
No, but I've never really had this particular sensation.
Really?
I think I'm going to win it.
What a feeling.
Yeah.
You can have it all.
I haven't bought my ticket yet, but I'm going to go down there today. And
How much are you going to give me?
Nothing now that you said that.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't ask.
No. Everybody gets a little bit. You get a little taste, you know.
That's it. You got to do something for me, though. You got to see my O face.
Are you going to buy tickets?
Of course.
Okay. Now, how much am I going to get? I'll make a deal with you.
I'd like to see, just how generous you would have been without a deal. Because I was going to be pretty damn generous with you.
You always talk about giving everyone $1 million.
Listen, if I won $654 million, I don't need that much money. I only need $100 million.
Well, listen, I'm a man of simple means. All I need is $100 million.
Yeah.
Well,
I would give all you guys money.
Of course, I would.
I would definitely give away more than I would keep.
Like $1,000. Wow. $1,000 each.
After the
taxes, I want about $325 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
You each get $1,000.
Yeah. You know what? You can't. You can't play birthday bucks because you work here.
Uh-huh. Can't.
No. So,
wouldn't you like the thrill of winning?
Does Bill get any?
Oh, no. Man, see, now that's
I know.
Where it starts to happen.
But it's National Bosses Day.
It wouldn't be outside of the core six here.
You bet.
I got Chuck. I think Chuck gets some, and so does Nick Murphy.
No, but pick one person outside the core six to make other people go, what the F?
I just made eye contact with Connor. Now he gets money.
Yeah.
I'll pay his student loans.
It's not like you named him, Nick. It's like you get a pet.
No,
named
but see,
him
that's
Connor.
The thing. Like, all right, so you have your core, your core work group, your core family, and then your core friends, right?
Yep.
And then you have periphery.
Then you have the Marine Corps.
If you have $350 million just sitting in a bank account, what you can do to a lot of the periphery that you wouldn't normally think of, pay off houses, pay off colleges, send their kids to school, and that is just like... chump change,
Here's what
like,
else you can do.
You can
use that core money, that money, to move far away from your core.
Yes. Now you're talking.
They can't bother you.
They can't bother you.
Set up barriers.
Yeah.
You can set up a cloud city.
Yeah.
But you guys each get $10 million at least.
That's awesome. $10 million.
Yeah. Dude, I have known you for 20 years, Preston.
You talked to
that's
Diane
a
about
long
that?
Time.
That means that's $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you talk to Diane about that?
I don't have to.
Okay.
Are you an idiot?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
You're going to end up with no money.
If I have... Okay, hang on a second.
Okay, he's going to do the math.
You're going to be like one of these guys in the 2020 or Dateline specials where he had it all. He won the jackpot, and now he's selling his blood.
Okay, if I have $350 million, right, then I keep $100 million of that, leaving me with $250 million to give away to whoever I want. And
wow, you would give away $250 million.
Yes, I would. Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful. Dude, you're a good person.
That's amazing.
There used to be a show called The Millionaire, and the whole mm-hmm. principle of the show was that this guy who was a multi-millionaire gave away to change people's lives would give away $1 million.
Right.
You know, and now in you know, when you're hearing $650 million.
Yeah.
But you know, listen, you could change people's lives dramatically. And the question is, how much do you need to live a happy life?
Right.
I almost think, in a way, having that vast wealth can be an onerous thing, you know?
Sure. It can be, yeah.
See, also, if I had that much money, that puts a target on my back. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to have that much money. Do you know? Like,
I do.
Yeah,
I
want that much
it.
Money.
Mm.
I don't think it would be a bad thing.
It would not be bad to be able to pay to have anyone you want killed.
Okay. Or to set up a fight between a grizzly bear and a gorilla.
No,
do whatever you want whenever you want to do it.
Yeah. I'm putting an entire gorilla preserve right into Bala Cynwyd. I'm happy now. You know, like I don't need. You know, really, the most important thing, not to sound like, you know, Hyman Roth, but your health, you know? Mm-hmm. You have your health, you have the love of a good woman, a very neutral old face. Mm-hmm. I think that's all. That's what you want in life.
What about all the toys?
Yeah, you got to have toys.
Yeah, you got to have
but
toys.
But my toys are low-rent toys. They're not, you know, okay. Like...
All right, I must be a greedy bastard because I want a lot of money.
You'd give away a lot.
I'm sure
yeah,
I would.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would...
Everyone would get $100.
Given my druthers, I'd like a lot of money.
Couple hundred bucks to people.
Yeah.
I know. I had you all come here today because I wanted to present you each with $100.
See, I also, like, I get concerned about taxes, right?
Like, you have to pay those.
No, of course. But I also don't, and Chuck, you're definitely on my list. Camille? Eric Camille? No, you're not.
So these people just walked into here. Casey's referencing people who are in the area.
No, but, like, if I were to give you... Steve, $10 million, you don't get to keep $10 million. You know what I mean? Like, you only get to keep...
I'd throw it right back in your face.
Right? So, like, my family, for instance, if I want to give them each $10 million, I kind of, like, I would much rather just say, you know what? I will buy you whatever you want for the rest of your life, and then you don't really have to pay taxes on it. You know what I mean? Like, you can live...
Well, you know what George Clooney did?
Yeah, I know.
So he gave $1 million each to 6 or 7 of his friends?
Yeah.
Who'll be after the sale of his booze company?
Yeah.
So
kind of what I would rather do is just say,
$1 million is life changing.
Go pick out whatever house you want to live in. I'm going to buy it. I will own that property, and you just live there, no problem.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Well, somebody texted in, and this is a good point. Says you have no idea how you would truly react to that much money until you have it in your possession.
I almost think I think it's almost scary. I always thought in my life I would have to just earn everything, and I've always – that's why I never play the lottery. Wait a second.
Chuck and Nick Murphy are in here, yep. And they're looking at me. What?
We're here to address this Core 6 crap.
Yeah, I just want to make sure.
Who said Core – I didn't say Core 6.
I just wanted to show up.
Oh, okay.
So who's the Core 6? Oh, that's right.
Steve, yeah. Casey, Kathy, Nick, and Marissa.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You guys are screwed.
I'm pretty sure this issue has been addressed many times over the years. I may have even saved the audio. That there is no Core 6. That I am in.
Yes, the audio.
Did you say that?
The Grade 8.
Yeah, you've said he's part of the group, right?
Well, he's part of my group.
And what about Nick Murphy?
Of course he is.
Okay.
I mean, I'll take Tier 2 status if you just want to
Preston,
throw me a couple thousand.
Do they fall in your core group?
Okay. Yeah.
Are they just dead weight?
Watch what you say.
No, they're not dead weight. No, definitely. You guys, all right. we get some.
Now, let me ask you, Chuck, because you're also your program director of Ben.
Yes.
Then you got to bring on other parties, and we're getting screwed out of
some. Who are we talking about again?
You. Now, yes. If you win $650 million,
if I win.
Yeah.
Are you going to be bringing in Kristen and Matt?
There's a whole lot of people that you are.
That's a whole lot of money, though, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole lot of money. I like Casey's plan. Keep 100, maybe 200.
Maybe maybe 300
million. Yeah.
Maybe every cent of it, and then actually steal some.
Right. Yeah, and then you've got your core friends at home, you know.
Yeah.
Here's what you do.
A little bit of family.
You take it all, you disappear for a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get off the grid, and then you reassess, and you think about everybody that actually means something in your life, and then you come back, and you say, all right, now I'm going to give you guys the money. Because that first year is just, that's for you.
What states do you live in that you don't have to actually reveal your identity?
I don't know.
It's a little known secret that every state gives you the option of never revealing your identity.
Hey, by the way, if you have, you don't have to give the money to people, by the way. I some friends of mine, their best friends are FU Money territory. Kathy's got FU Money friends. And as long as you bring them along and have some fun experiences and do some cool things.
Yeah.
You're along for the party.
Well, and if you really want to get into it, you're going to get taxed unbelievably if you gift it to them.
So
if you
build in a tax buffer.
Well, no, but if like you purchase something and you own it, your name's on it, but you know technically it's theirs, you let them live in it or drive it or whatever, then you know you're not getting taxed as much if you
exactly.
You can really only gift. I think it's under $10,000.
You basically just described the life of Magnum PI, right. Who lives on Robin Colcord's estate,
right?
Gets to drive the car,
right?
But doesn't have to pay the tax.
Well, let me ask you this then: what can I, if I was a filthy rich, tons of money?
All right,
can I pay your child's education? Right, your kids are in college. Can I pay all of their college, and can I pay off your home loans, your mortgage? And nobody gets taxed on that.
That would be taxable, right. Though, would it not?
You want to take care?
Please.
Want to talk to a financial advisor?
Yeah.
Come on. I got a financial advisor. I got a CPA. I got everybody on the line.
There's somebody from UPS up here, too.
This one is remaining anonymous, a financial advisor. Good morning.
How you doing this morning, guys?
Good. All right. Can you answer Casey's question? Can he pay for everybody's education?
It gets a little sketchy, depending on the amount that you do, but there's certain types of accounts you could always set up to get around that. The point that I was trying to make is when people don't really understand the amount of money that it is, if you were even after taxes, just with the Mega Millions, after taxes, everyone has taken their cut. If you put that into a low interest bearing account, basically it comes out to about $250,000 a week in interest. And if you don't spend,
I can't live on that.
And if you don't spend $250,000 a week, it starts to accrue interest. So the only way to not accrue interest is to spend $250,000 a week.
Wow.
It's like Brewster's Millions.
Pretty challenge. Much, but way worse.
And
I can do that.
And yeah, I think Kathy can handle that.
She'd be heading out to Target to spend $250,000.
And if you don't spend that money, then you end up making more money?
Correct. The money then will, depending on where it's coming from or how you're drawing it, what account it's coming from, it will then start to accrue interest. So then depending on how you set it up.
Then every county in the area would have a gorilla preserve. But let me ask you, Anonymous here, when you see people with vast wealth, or you see people, would you say that a decent amount, a comfortable amount of money, there seems to be a whole set of issues that come with that vast wealth, where you're, I don't know, is my perception wrong, or maybe I'm just
when you get to those levels, there's whole groups of individuals who basically just take care of your money. You're not really even touching it anymore.
Yeah.
There's entire organizations, trusts around here that 1,000 people operate off interest off of certain accounts alone just because of the amount of money that's sitting in those trusts.
All right.
So it's unbelievable.
All right, let me ask you a question. As a 40-year-old man, how much money would I need to be able to live my life without working and to, just to kind of, I'm not saying spend frivolously, but like live a fun, fulfilled life?
Can I answer that for you?
Yes.
Real quick, it all depends on the type of lifestyle you live because
right.
We made
correct.
All our financial plans with our planner, who is awesome, by the way, and we did that very thing. We had to sit down and said, what kind of life do you want to live at retirement? If you want to live the type of life that you are living now, A, B, C, and D, and then we start throwing things out there. Do you guys want a condo in Florida to retreat? Do you want this? Do you want that? And you make
a gorilla reserve.
A gorilla reserve. You make a big list of these things, and then you ballpark the numbers,
mm-hmm.
and then you have an idea of what to target for. And once you have an idea of what to target for, then you have a strategy on your savings and investment.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
And you just have to be. But they don't say, hey, just be honest about what you like, what you need in life to have a happy life. And you pick correct. That. You pick that mark.
Here's a fun fact for you. If you were to take $1 million and just put it into an account, no interest, nothing, not have a job, but just live a normal life, mortgage payment, what you do every day. You know how long it would take you to spend $1 million?
How long?
8 years.
Okay. So, yeah, so you put that in perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So okay, for me, and when we did it, Preston, and we talked to our financial planner, my wife and I agreed we would love to live the life of a shepherd. And
all right, thanks for your call, ma'am. We appreciate it.
We think financially that's the least demanding.
I think part of the reason I don't, I'm sure I would help people out if I were to win that kind of money, but I'm not going to go on and say it out loud right now because
how much you pay your house staff?
You know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen is people will take advantage of you immediately when that starts to take place.
I have said, and I will go on record as saying, if you ask me for anything, if you ask me for money, you're not getting it. You know, you're just going to have to sit and wait and hope that you're part of my crew,
that you're part of my
inner circle. And my inner circle is quite large. But if you ask me for anything, you don't get it.
Do you see yourself as a bit like a Tony Stark-ish kind of guy?
No.
No?
He's really smart.
But I mean... Not so smart, Stark.
All right.
It's cardboard, man.
Anyhow, it comes...
I couldn't do the iron thing, but this cardboard outfit is pretty good.
It comes with its difficulties.
Yeah.
If you win that amount of money, but in some people's lives, it's ruined.
It has.
It's flat out ruined money their can, lives.
Listen, to people who, when you haven't had it, I've had situations, Preston, where when we were just getting started, my wife and I, if we could just get a pizza, rent a movie, and it's all relative. As long as you find the certain things that really matter in life,
but
being able to pay bills and stuff like that, and not have to worry about money is a wonderful thing as well. Mm. So I think you're right. Money does not make you happy. It can help, but it doesn't. It won't make you happy.
You know what made me happy?
What?
One of those water jetpack things.
Those are awesome, and so they are expensive.
You know, you could get one if you had.
You can rent one.
So, you can rent one.
You can
buy one. You can buy your own little lake to ride around on that thing. So, all right. Oh, you know what?
Yes. Yeah.
He just pointed out it's 8 o'clock.
Let's do it.
You know what? All this money talk.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to change someone's life.
Yeah. MMR's birthday bucks. Birthday bucks.
All right. We have your chance to win $1,000 right now, and $1,000 ain't shabby. And what you need to do is send over word I'm going to give you, but you have to do it via WMMR's mobile app or WMMR.com. The key word is happy, H-A-P-P-Y. Send that word over. You have until 8:15 to enter it via WMMR's mobile app or at WMMR.com. It's time to win $1,000 with MMR's Birthday Bucks Part 2. One winner selected at random wins that grand in our company-wide contest. Good luck from MMR. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a second. The B-File is coming up next.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, November 26th at Xfinity Live. The Business Challenge is such a big part of Camp Out, and props to Subaru of America for leading the way in challenging other companies to get involved and make a difference. Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer, is encouraging any size business, large or small, to donate. One business will be selected at random to receive a Canon full-color copy, print, and scan image runner advance. It's a 36-month lease with service from Heritage. The Preston and Steve live broadcast from your place of business is still up for grabs for the largest donation. Go to WMMR.com/campout for a list of especially needed food items and all business challenge details.
Let's get into the Bizarre File.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by the Bates Motel. This Halloween, get to the number one rated haunted hayride in America at the Bates Motel in Glen Mills. Three heart-pounding attractions and discount coupons at Dunkin' Donuts. Or buy tickets at thebatesmotel.com. We're going to start with a bizarre story in Toronto. A manhunt is underway for a man who jumped naked into the massive shark tank at Ripley's Aquarium, swimming amongst the 14 sharks to cheers and jeers before barely escaping. After his one-man show Friday night, he was told the police were on their way, and then he yanked on his pants, held the shoes in his hand, and fled with a woman, leaving his hoodie and T-shirt behind.
So what was the reason for it?
Well, listen, police issued an alert and a photo of the man, only showing his face.
His naked stunt also revealed other distinguishing features like tribal tattoos down his calf and a bicep tattoo. While the stunt was greeted largely with merriment by onlookers and social media, the aquarium is not amused, and the stunt fired up social media over the weekend. By Monday night, however, it took an unpleasant turn when police said the swimmer is believed to also be a man wanted for a serious assault 2 hours before.
Uh-huh.
Police said David Weaver is wanted for mischief for the nude swim, as well as assault causing bodily harm after a man was attacked outside of Medieval Times dinner show.
So he goes from Medieval Times over to the aquarium?
Yeah, it's kind of the way
this guy's making the rounds.
The aquarium's internal security video shows the man arriving an hour before closing, although the attraction was hosting a jazz night with a cash bar. The swimmer pretty much headed straight for what they call the Dangerous Lagoon, which is a recreation of three tropical lagoons with a rocky foliage, rocks and foliage, and nearly 3 million liters of water.
Welcome to the lagoon.
Oh, yes. It's
perfect for a good swim. Enjoy.
So the man made his way to the overlook at the exhibit. He disrobed, he climbed over a security barrier, and jumped into the tank with the sharks.
Well, that's stupid.
Video showed on social media showed the man swimming calmly around in the pool. One video through glass from under the water captured several sharks nearby. Rather than showing any interest in his flailing legs, they quickly scooted away. The man then returned to the edge of the pool where he first jumped in and paused. Looking up, he says, "I can't get out." He looked for another egress and backstroked to an easement where aquarium staff stood. Onlookers are heard exclaiming he's completely naked. At the easement, he started to climb out, revealing a full moon to an outcry from onlookers. As if in response, just when he is almost out, suddenly he did a high backflip into the water, revealing his underbelly and his
junk,
his dingle. And
that's an aquatic term.
An even louder uproar occurred.
Well, they keep the sharks fed, obviously, so they don't eat the other fish in the tank, but still, it's effing dangerous.
A woman is then seen handing him his clothes, and that's about when security informed him police had been called, and he darted out of the building partially clothed. So they are trying to track this guy down.
It might have been a delightful prank, you know, if he had not had the assault earlier at the other place.
Yeah. The notorious Louisville Gnome Bandit is back in handcuffs after a second manhunt. Thursday, Barton Bishop was arrested after falling out of the attic of a home where he was hiding. He was taken into custody. Police posted about his arrest on Facebook, saying that tips led them to his hiding spot. Bishop was injured when he fell from the attic. They didn't say how badly hurt he was.
Was he keeping the gnomes up there?
No. Before this latest manhunt, though, Bishop eluded police for weeks this summer. He was accused of stealing from yards and porches.
Look at
dozens of people reported missing gnomes, lawn ornaments, plants, and other items, some of which held great sentimental value. The thefts went on for most of June.
Any reason for this?
They don't know. Bishop was eventually spotted on a Ring doorbell camera and identified by police as the man responsible for the multitude of thefts. After a manhunt that lasted more than a month, Bishop was discovered at a campground in Georgia. He was arrested and charged with 67 charges of receiving stolen property. He was extradited back to Louisville and faces charges. He posted bond and was released. And on September 18th, he was indicted on dozens of theft charges. He failed to show for his court date on a bench warrant, or a bench warrant was issued, and that prompted the latest search, and then he fell out of the ceiling in an attic that he was hiding in.
Imagine you're doing jail time. You have to tell the convict you're with it was for stealing lawn gnomes.
Gnomes. But they got him. A Walter Burrow, South Carolina man and a cancer survivor claims he was asked to leave a convenience store because of his disfigured face. Yeah, this is horrible. Kirby Evans underwent surgery 7 years ago to remove basal cell carcinoma, and he lost both his nose and left eye as a result. So he looks, you know, you see him, it's a little startling.
Yeah.
The 65-year-old said when he visited...
Wouldn't hurt to try to have some compassion.
Yeah. The Forks pit stop Monday to buy a snack and a drink. When he sat down at a table in the store to eat, the manager allegedly grabbed him by his shirt and pulled him into her office, Kirby's daughter Brandy had told in a Facebook post. Brandy said the manager allegedly told her father that he would have to cover his face to eat at the convenience store or leave. She said he went home in tears to tell me what had happened. My father was discriminated against because of the way he looks. He cannot help what the cancer did to him. Kirby echoed this statement. He said the words that came out of the person's mouth hurt me so deeply. How can a person eat anything with his face covered? Brandy, who said on Facebook her father is trouble wearing an eye patch because it rubs the eye socket and where his nose was, rubs it raw. He's on a fixed income, so somebody created a GoFundMe account for him. And
to get him the prosthetic?
Raising more than $2,500 of his $10,000 goal as of Friday. I don't know if it's for a prosthetic, but it's just to give this guy some money.
I mean, and then you go over, you grab him by the shirt. Come here, you.
Yeah, a representative for the store did not return calls. And then one last story. Burning random items in a backyard pool, including a hot tub, didn't work out well for a man who is now facing a citation for illegal burning. Jonathan M. Geeman was cited after police went to his house, and they found he burned a hot tub in an in-ground pool behind a home. So he
put the hot tub in the pool and then set it on fire?
That's exactly it. Other items were being burned as well.
All right, for the third time, what was the reason?
Police were notified because the fire got out of control due to the foam insulation in the hot tub.
I hate that hot tub!
Which caused the siding on the back of the of his house to melt. So he melted his house in the process. The citation was for violating a burning ordinance. So I don't know why he did it, but
it's my house. I want to burn my hot tub in my pool.
Oh, my God. There are some people that are like that.
And maybe, what happened to America?
Maybe that's him. All right, and that's what I got for you in the Bizarre File this morning. I had mentioned at the beginning that our sponsor was the Bates Motel, and we have moved the cream of the scream stop to Thursday night because we had bad weather last week. So let's give away 5 passes to join the gang for the Preston and Steve Cream of the Scream on Thursday night, 6 to 8 p.m., 215-263-WMMR. It's the Bates Motel in Glen Mills. Number one haunted attraction in America, featuring the most heart-pounding haunted hayride in the country, the terrorizing Revenge of the Scarecrow's Trail, and the Bates Motel Haunted House. Plus, you can check out their mobile escape rooms and tickets at thebatesmotel.com. But we'll take 5 callers, and we will give those to you right now. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Our friend Craig Shoemaker will be here this morning. A few other things coming up. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Foo Fighters. Alice in Chains. Godsmack.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Yards Brewing is here with Landmark Americana. And did anybody else see the swimming pool of crab dip they have out there?
Yeah. I took a dip.
It's massive.
Yeah, it's awesome.
There is a whole lot of cheesy crab dip out there.
There's a lot of good food out there. Mm. I tried the wings.
And?
Excellent.
Excellent. Landmark Americana is a place to be on game day, by the way. They have food and drink specials all day, the NFL Sunday ticket, and tons of TVs. You're never going to miss a play. And they always have the sound on for every Birds game. And you'll find them at 2481 North 54th Street in Philadelphia. And they came in today with Yards Brewing. So thank you guys for being here this morning. We appreciate that. Steve sent over a link. It is from Cosmopolitan magazine. Cosmo.
Cosmo is my my magazine.
That's your jam?
Yeah.
You're it's, a Cosmo how I,
it helps me pick my outfits on a daily basis.
And
I'm a Cosmo girl.
The article is titled 65 Fun and Cheap Dates That'll Put Dinner and a Movie to Shame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? We don't have to spend anything. Let's just stay here.
So do you want me to go through a few of these?
Some are actually...
Some are okay.
Some are okay.
Some are silly.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's.
I mean, there's 65 of them. They had to fill up a lot.
Yeah. So you figure out what you like, but we'll take them on a case per case basis.
By the way, now, Steve, a little bit different story with you guys because you don't have children. So your opportunity to go on dates are more frequent.
Absolutely.
Probably.
So we're going to the swingers clubs. So
right.
We're going to those, you know, like the eyes wide shut parties.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. It's Tuesday. Are you going to Philly Jack's tonight?
Absolutely. I've got my cotton mittens ready to go.
We try to do the occasional date.
Yeah.
My wife and I.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen as often as we'd like to, but when we do, it's fun. It's nice.
To be honest, I'm a homebody at this point because we're out so much for our job. So Claire will go out with her friends and then we have our times where we hang out and do our things as well. At a certain point, you know, I like to go home. I like to be home.
Sure.
I like home.
Yeah. I do like to get out on kind of a little, just you and me.
Yeah.
Going on a little date thing. It's just it's fun.
And what do you do? Just dinner? Maybe a movie?
Not usually a movie, but dinner is definitely one from time
Street
to time.
Street racing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
Yeah, you race for pink slips.
Or we've gone to a museum together. Or
bum fights.
Maybe shopping or something
Have
like
you
that.
Ever done an escape room without your children?
Yes, you have.
But not just Rochelle and I. We've had parties where we've taken other couples along and done it. But
yeah. You guys do some inventive things together. I think you have to think outside of the box. You know,
here's one of our favorite things to do when it comes to going out and doing a little date thing. So we'll go to a museum. Now, Shell and I don't know squat about fine art. We don't know anything about it. We appreciate looking at the work. It's cool.
Do you deface it?
But no. But after a while, you know, why is this a great piece of art? I have no idea.
Sure, sure.
You know, so it gets lost on us, the craftsmanship. So what we will do is we'll go, say we went to the Barnes one time.
Right.
And after appreciating some of the, you know, and it's Cezanne and it's Picasso and it's all these, you know, these names you know, Rembrandt and so
Van
on
Gogh.
And so forth. Van Gogh. But after a while, there's a lot to take in. So what we'll do is we'll go to each painting. We will not look at the title of the painting, and we will try to we will give our interpretation of what the title of this painting should be.
Have you ever come close?
A couple of times,
yeah.
Almost nailed it. But most of the time, you know, it's like
bowl of fruit.
Well, no, it'll be like lady contemplating a foursome, you know, or
okay,
something
yeah.
like that. It ends up becoming a joke.
Okay. Right?
And it ends up becoming really funny and a good time because everything starts becoming perverted after a while and you have a good time with
it. And it's for you too.
Yeah, it's just for us too. And we're laughing and people are really appreciating this artwork and we're getting a kick out
There's
of it.
There's a scene in Annie Hall, the Woody Allen Academy Award winning film where he and Annie Hall are sitting there and one of their favorite things to do is to go to the park and people watch and create stories about the people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, same
We've
sort
done
of
that
thing.
Too.
Yeah.
What do you think they're talking about?
Right, right.
And we'll even start, if one person's talking, we'll be like, I'd really like to go out for a date later, you know, or whatever. So that.
And then they come over, excuse me, do you know where we are?
That's how they
I got it. I nailed it.
Why are you making fun of the way I talk?
By the way, I was watching a woman who is, she's a stand up comedian, and she was an art history major back in the day, and she says Van Gogh.
Some people do.
Not Van Gogh, but Van Gogh.
Yeah, the American pronunciation is Van Gogh.
Uh-huh.
But if you're Dutch or French, you can say it with a
How does he say it?
Van Gogh.
He's dead.
Okay, so he probably doesn't say anything.
All right. Yes.
Well, I was also going to say, in addition to people watching, Preston. No, it's just part of the conversation. Am I not invited
to the Van Gogh thing wasn't part of the conversation, but this is going to be part of the conversation.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Is that I was... I don't want to be a part of this conversation. Go ahead, Chris. Fuck you.
I was out.
You just tap out.
I'm tapping.
No, go ahead. I
don't want to.
Okay, no. I
don't want to. It's stupid. Never mind.
Someone just blew their $10 million, I'll tell you that.
You're down to
five,
kid.
I almost spit all over the place. No, does it have to do with dating? Going
sure.
on a date?
Yeah.
Then
yeah,
do
yeah.
tell.
No.
I don't give a f-
okay. Maybe I'll interject later. I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, well, this is the list. I was going to start going down this list of...
the list!
The 65 fun, cheap date ideas to put dinner and a movie to shame.
Yeah, sometimes it won't put movie and a dinner to shame, but let's go through it. Let's see what we got.
Bake something together.
No, you guys are going to immediately make fun of that, but I agree. I think time spent in the kitchen is a good date. I did a baking class at a local restaurant, and it was fantastic. And I'm not a good baker, but when given instructions, it was fun. With the meal ended up being delicious. We made bread. We made pizza.
It can be a blast. I agree really wholeheartedly. So, Nick, I joined. You know, I am a member of I'm a Wolfgang Puck trained chef.
Right. That's yes. right.
I joined his online video course.
I aspire to be better at that.
One of the best times I ever had was making Eggs Benedict for my wife with my wife.
There you go.
And yes, and it was
okay.
And I did a great job. It was fun. And it those little things that you can poo poo as being banal. Yes, give it a shot.
So their reasoning is baking something easy like cookies or cupcakes is not only cute, it's also a way...
Cosmo writing this.
It's also way less pressure than cooking a whole meal.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
Don't make the first thing you cook together a pig and a spit.
Lobster Thermidor.
Yeah.
And then it says Getty.
Getty Lee.
No, it's a picture
rock.
That came along with it. All right, so, Getty Lee, rock. Getty. Hey, I'm wearing my Rush shirt.
Jersey black, rock.
All right, go to an open house.
I love this. I do this. You do this?
We can date, Steve.
Yeah, we could. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, that's fun. And you get to see what people live like and what they have in their medicine cabinets. Yeah.
I am nosy as F when at night when I walk around and people's houses are lit up. I'm looking in windows.
Right.
You know, I'm going inside.
Nick, what kind of panties they have?
Sure, yeah. Kind of what they smell like.
Thank you.
What's under the bed?
Go to a coffee shop and read together.
No,
that's ridiculous.
These are the worst suggestions I've ever heard.
You do every one of these.
Go to an open house?
Yeah, that's your thing.
Loser.
Yeah.
Okay. Go to a coffee shop and read together.
Look at this picture. So they have them reading together.
Oh,
do me a favor. If you see me doing that with my wife, come up behind us and put two bullets in our head.
What we're looking at is two people reading the same book at the same time.
Are you done with this page yet? Oh, I finished ahead of you. Let's go home and bake.
That would end in a fight.
Yes, it would.
Oh, to me.
Are you done yet? Yeah. What are you, retarded?
I would be rereading the same sentence.
Are you reading? What are you, blind? Hey, Stevie Wonder, why don't you take a crack at speeding it up a bit?
Go to a dog park together. It says yes, even if you don't have a dog.
No!
That's crazy!
Listen, the other folks wanted me to come over and ask, what are you doing here? We think you're perverts.
Dog parks are fun. There's Pretzel Park right in Manayunk. Has a lovely little dog park. And, there's a big statue of a pretzel.
Okay. Here we go. Do face masks together.
You mean like Halloween or beauty masks?
It says everyone cares about their skin. Oh. Everyone.
Look it.
No.
I'm Phantom of the Opera.
Look it.
Look it. Look it. This is the way I made you look last night.
This sounds like...
sneezed all over your face.
Look at this couple here doing face masks together.
Yeah, this sounds like things to force your boyfriend to do
with you.
That's
what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm.
And then just let me ask you something. At the end of this, is there going to be some tookie?
All right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Things to force him to do so he gets some.
There's 65 of these. We've only gone through five. Here's the next one. Go thrifting for antique furniture.
Ugh. Yeah, I got dragged into that this weekend a little bit.
So if you go out like towards Lancaster, if you're going around to some of these wonderful, quaint little... I don't mind going through, like, quaint little neighborhoods and towns where there's boutiques and things like that. I'll do that up to a point.
There has to be a point.
There has to be a point.
There has to be a stopping point.
Right.
Yes.
There has to be
We're done now.
Yes. I've done this for... It's like an art museum. Like
we've got books to read together.
I reached my threshold.
Yeah.
Wait, I did have a question about... we got masks to do. About the art museum. Have you ever done it a guided tour?
Not at an art museum. No, I would like to do that. I'm definitely all about guided tours.
It adds, yes, and that's why I brought it up, because I know how much you like it and you appreciate it more. Mm-hmm. And because I'm in the same boat as you, I'm ignorant when it comes to this type of thing. So if somebody tells me stuff, I feel like I'm actually getting more out of the experience.
I think the guide is also the way to go over the handheld. You listen, because
self-guided.
This way you can have someone who you can both ask questions. It becomes more of a mutual thing. I think I went to the wrong barns. There were chickens and a dairy cow.
That's the wrong one.
Yeah.
We did at Eastern State Penitentiary, we did a self-guided tour where they give you the headset and walking through. And that was cool.
Okay.
And because we'd been in the prison enough times.
Did you share the earpiece?
No, we all had our own headset.
But, don't be romantic.
But you could walk through. No, you hear that all at the same time.
Yeah.
And you know who voiced it? Steve Buscemi.
Really?
I kid you not.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. All right, so moving on.
All right, we have 40 more to go.
Yeah, here we go. 50, actually.
Okay.
Throw a party where your guests BYOB.
That's a lot of work. That's not a date. That's it's stupid.
Start binge-watching a new show together.
That's kind of obvious.
That's at home.
Yeah, that's standard.
Here we go. Do a puzzle together.
Oh, no. No. I hate puzzles.
Well, I'm okay with this one.
Are you?
Yeah. Puzzles are fun.
Let's do a puzzle.
There was a while where we had just like a puzzle on the table that was whenever you wanted to go over and work on it, it was there.
Oh, my gosh. That is like a nightmare for me. That's a mess on a table that stays and doesn't leave.
You should have seen her face rolling her eyes.
It's almost like the are we having sex face? Ew!
Sneeze.
Kathy, the perfect puzzle to get if Dennis ever makes you get a puzzle to do is make sure that when it's put together, it spells out "I want a divorce."
Seriously.
So that just looks like a mess to you.
I kind of agree. I that's why I hate puzzles. Pieces. There's always a piece missing.
Have you ever gone to a psychologist for to check to see if you're OCD or
no, I haven't. Okay.
Wait right here, Miss Romano. I need to go into the other room.
I've not officially been diagnosed.
All right.
I know. I've actually had the, the therapist did the ADD stuff on me. And I have a whole bunch of things working.
Yeah, we would leave a puzzle laying out on the table. No. The whole family could work on it from time to time. You could do it on your own, or
I would throw it out.
Sit there and we worked on it together. Yeah. It's fun.
It's not necessarily date activity. It's Kathy. More family activity.
Yeah, it's not a date activity.
I would do this into the garbage.
Seriously, I'm just thinking. Box. This has been here for a month. Is anyone going to finish the puzzle?
Mommy's so much fun. How come these balloons were not inflated?
Hang on, I want to go to Larry. He's got an idea. Hi, Larry. You're on the air. Good morning, Larry.
Pretend you're Larry.
Hey, Larry.
The radio station.
Yo, what's up, guys?
Okay. You're on the air, Larry.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
My wife and I, we would go to model homes.
Oh, yeah. Like, okay, yeah.
And?
I mean, ones that are just totally, totally out of our realm. The,
right.
You know, the real, real expensive ones. And you can be whoever you want.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I've been a doctor or a neurosurgeon.
I'm a neurosurgeon.
Yeah.
I work on neuros.
I don't usually go to neighborhoods quite this fancy.
It's be funny, though. And so when you go into these places, a lot of times if you go to a higher level open house, Larry, they will have little snacks set out.
Oh, yeah.
And they will have, right? And they'll have like little champagne and things of that nature. If you're going to, you know, depending on what neighborhood you go to.
Yes.
So
yes.
There you go.
I've been to many where they've had beer and wine and all kinds of cookies and snacks.
Cookies,
yeah.
At the
we've even been to ones where they've actually given away gift certificates to restaurants.
Oh, I mean, come on! That's cool. It appeals to the voyeur and the nosy.
The nosy neighbor.
Right.
Well, that's right out of I Love You, Man.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where he meets Sydney. He's
right.
Just going to open houses.
There are houses that are so expensive that you have to pre-qualify before you go through. Like, you can't just go to an, quote, open house.
We went, my wife and I found out that exists, so we were not pre-qualified, and there was a sign, and it was not open, and I guess it was just to direct people who had been qualified. This house was like a mansion. And they quickly escorted us out.
Yeah, they don't want people just walking through. But I did go through an open house when the houses next door to us were built. Everybody in the neighborhood kind of went over. They wanted to check them out, see how they compared to our houses. And when I walked in, the real estate agent said, you know, you sign in and, you know, you can
say. Yes, I'm a neurosurgeon.
No, but listen, so she goes, and this model, is based off of Kathy Romano's house. She lives in the neighborhood. And
what?
I was like, she said it
serious?
To me.
Really?
She said it to me. And
did
I was
you
like,
let that go?
I just looked at her. And then I think I looked at her so bizarrely that she was like, oh, are you Kathy? And I was like, yeah.
Well, it turns out I'm Kathy, bitch.
Yeah. So they were using you as a selling
point. Isn't that weird?
That's
said it
wild.
To me.
Tell you what, one of the rudest persons I've ever met was a real estate agent in the neighborhood that we now live in.
Really?
We went into a model home. We were first looking in the neighborhood, and the woman there just would not give us the time of day. Asked a couple of questions. She asked us if we were bothering her. I wanted to punch her in the face.
Which
I'm
you
like,
should have. You could afford
I'm like,
it?
You have no idea. Yes. She could. She was clearly thought we couldn't afford it. You know, we pull up in a minivan. I don't know if that's what did it or not, but... I just, oh,
well, you,
God
never, you should
almighty.
Never, yes, that's never, whether you think someone can or can't, be civil.
Yeah. All right, anyhow, let me move on.
That's a bad day.
There are some silly, there are some really dumb ones here. There's some okay ones, like go to a trivia night at a bar. That's a fun date.
Try butt stuff.
How about this? Take a bunch of personality quizzes together.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yeah,
you are a little obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
What did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you never complete a jigsaw puzzle.
By the way, these are 65 great first date, cheap first date ideas. Go on a guided tour together. Nick, you had mentioned that one. Here we go. Wake up ass early and watch the sunrise together.
No.
Thank you.
When I was a kid, that used to be a thing I would love to do. wake up and watch the sunrise. It was just always.
Really?
Yeah. I would do it a lot.
Ours was to stay up all night until the sun came up.
Yeah.
One
yeah,
time.
Well, I mean, then you got, yeah, as you got older. But when I was like, you know, like 9 or 10 or 11, it was always like, oh, I want to see the sunrise, you know?
No, that's what I mean. When we were, oh, really? If I would have a friend spend the night,
okay,
they'd be like, oh, stay up all night
that's
long
the
until
goal.
The sun comes up. Yeah.
And my son is 12, and the sleepovers are the big birthday parties now. And that for all of these kids that are this age, they want to stay up as late as they possibly can.
Yep.
And to watch the sunrise.
I remember I had a pup tent in the backyard. My dad stayed out there with me, and he goes, yeah, it's coming up in about 10 minutes. The sun's coming up.
Yeah, we see it enough for work.
Yeah.
Here we go. Other cheap date ideas. Make breakfast for dinner. That can be fun.
No.
That's good for family. No, Casey says.
Hey, look, we're having cereal.
Oh,
isn't that crazy? Normally associated with breakfast, but we're having it now. It's over, isn't it?
It's over. Isn't
it? Go for a run.
Go for a run.
That's not a date.
I'm going to go for a run, and I'm not going to stop.
That's exercise. See a movie at an off time.
Let's go at 4 o'clock.
Like,
isn't that crazy? We're living on the edge. It's over, isn't it? I have some cereal in the car.
It's over, isn't it?
Keep running.
I'm going to go out for a run. And I'm never going to stop.
Here you go. Ride a ferry.
Excuse me?
F-E-R-R-Y. Oh.
Your friend Deshaun's in town.
This is a different type of date.
Ride a ferry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know.
For like transporting cars across bodies of water.
Exactly. Gotcha. Delaware Memorial Bridge. Yeah. Or down that way, there's a ferry.
There is actually, at Orient Point, if you go to Long Island, there's a great, the Orient Point Ferry is one of the, it's a romantic.
Where does it take you?
It takes you to Connecticut.
All right.
There's one at Cape May, right?
Yeah, Cape May Lewis Ferry.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't think that's romantic.
I'm skipping around. Right. I know, right?
Take a subway.
Yeah, exactly. Ride the subway.
Yeah.
Steve, the Staten Island Ferry.
That is a great SEPTA bus route you really have to try.
You know, it's Nick, it says here in New York City you can take a ferry to Staten Island for free.
So. No, nobody goes to Staten Island for anything
for
romantic.
Yeah. There's a bunch I'm going to skip around here. Play laser tag.
Maybe. You know, like go-kart racing or things that you might... Sometimes it's okay to think outside of your age range and do something a little frivolous and fun.
Take a dance class together.
Oh.
Have you tried that? Have you tried it?
No, but I'm writing it down, actually.
Take a dance class together.
Kathy, why did you...
Has Dennis participated in any of your dance escapades?
No, when we got married, he learned a dance, and it just was like...
Was it like
pulling teeth?
I mean, he was okay with it because I had asked him, but he was no good.
My wife and I make up fake dances.
Do you really?
Yeah, so we have like...
That's fun.
Here's what we'll do. She'll be the watching TV and I'll come in and I'll do this like, you know, like elaborate thing and she'll go, oh my God.
A come hither
move?
Did you
just come up with that?
Right.
And then our thing is to mimic each other as we're doing it. And God, you're like, and then like I'll go and put a towel around my neck and go, that was a good one. You know, like we're really choreographers.
I would pay good money to see you doing that's very unlike you.
I'll get you my wife and I to do. Yeah,
okay. I gotta see that.
Our improvisational dance skills are Twyla Tharp-esque.
Let's see here. What is this? Get competitive.
Box.
No.
Yeah.
It means playing board games. I know.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, you're right.
She takes the mouth guard out. You are crazy.
Yeah.
You said light sparring.
All right, now we're
Come on, man.
All right, ding, ding.
Yeah. Appropriate contact only. All right.
Nice.
Now let's make a puzzle. Let's see if I can put your face back together.
With boxing gloves on. All right, so now I'm going to rifle through some of these because some are just kind of, right. Go to a music festival, see an improv show, go to the beach.
Wow. The beach in that we've just been having this conversation. Off season in the winter, going to the beach is wonderful. Going to beach towns in the winter can be romantic and fun.
It can be.
I love the solitude.
Learn how to make cocktails and develop your own at home bar. That could be okay. Have a staycation. Come on.
Set up a meth lab.
Yeah, she could do that. Have brunch at home. These are walk along a boardwalk. Okay.
Look at me. I'm walking.
That's it's a teacher, isn't it?
Go stargazing.
Yes.
I'm in.
Yeah, that could be fun. All right, here's another one. Explore a neighborhood you don't know. Hmm. We used to do that. We used to just kind of drive
never
around.
Never really been to Kensington.
Go house look, you know, a little bit. Areas that you've never
Chester,
been to.
Chester, that sounds interesting. Chester's a friendly name.
Go on a bike ride.
Yeah, sure. Through a neighborhood you don't know.
It's not really a date, though. That's just something.
That's like activity.
That's exercise.
I like activities.
Full activities.
Well, you do yoga with the missus, right?
We do yoga. Do.
But you do it with other people as well, right?
Yeah.
But anyone who wanders off the street.
That's not a date. It's not a date. No.
It's a workout. It's a full body workout.
This sounds for like new couples.
Yeah.
New couples.
No. Yeah, these can be for, you know. Especially if you've got kids and you don't get much time alone together, these are fun things that you can go do.
But like something like going to a yoga class together, that's like a young couple would be like, hey, let's go on a date to yoga.
You wouldn't do that. Right.
That's like workout.
Kids are out tonight. Let's make a bun cake.
All right. Go for a picnic. Go apple picking. Go to a carnival.
Apple picking. Carnival, yes. Picnics are, depending on where you're going, they can be wonderful.
Here's one. Learn to play an instrument together.
You're learning to play one by yourself, is Rochelle. Wasn't Rochelle learning to play the drums?
She took drum lessons for a while. She did that as an example to my kids who were taking drum lessons as well. And so she did it to show that, you know.
She's a good mom.
Yeah, she's really
good. She
got pretty decent at it. She got the basics. She could play Highway to Hell.
You know, well, you guys have a band there at home.
Yeah.
You could be the next DeFranco family.
We could do that. The what family?
DeFranco family. You don't remember the DeFrancos? They're the ones I think that the Partridge family is based on.
I know Ani DeFranco.
Yeah.
But no. Okay. No. We'll work on that.
We'll work on that.
Go to the arcade. Go for a boat ride. Volunteer together.
Let's volunteer.
Oh, here's one. Garden together. That's not a date. That's work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do your taxes together. Yeah.
I put in a
look garden. At me, I'm itemizing.
I put in a garden in the backyard, and it was an extensive amount of work that was not at all romantic.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
All right, here you go. Go to a brewery. Go to Yards Brewing.
Yes. That's a normal recreational thing anyway.
It says here, do yoga outdoors. Oh! That's what we do.
So you go on a date.
Mm-hmm.
How about goat yoga?
That I haven't tried yet.
How about goat sex?
Goat.
It's pretty cool.
All right, how about this one? Test drive a car. You ever done that and gone test driving a car even though you're not in the market for a car? No.
I go. Well, you know, when like Preston, for example, when the car show was in town and we were driving vehicles, ABC did a thing with us.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Do you have to get like with like the mansions and stuff? Do you have to get pre-approved to test drive a Ferrari or a Lamborghini?
If you go to like an FC Curbac or something where they have the ultra higher end things, I think you have to. There's something that they have to do. They're not going to turn over the keys to a Lamborghini and let you take off.
I had a friend who wanted to buy a Porsche, and he knew he couldn't afford it yet. So him and his girlfriend at the time, they didn't want to go to the dealerships when they were open because they didn't want to be bothered. He knew, and he didn't want to bother them. He knew he wasn't ready to buy it. So they would go on Sundays when the dealerships would close, and he would walk around the dealership and look at all the cars.
So I talked, like I'm doing I'm driving the Keystone Volvo, the sedan they have me in. The guy over there, Ben, says that on the Sunday is actually, I said, is this a suck not being able to open up on Sunday? He says, no, actually, we end up selling more cars because people come in and walk around and they don't feel they're going to be, you know, set upon, and then they come back and buy the car.
Well, and he did. Eventually, he ended up buying a Porsche.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and then there's a few others, but the last one, I think actually this one's kind of legit, and this can be whether you're it's new or not, do something touristy you haven't done before.
Yeah.
It's easy to overlook the touristy stuff.
Like the Liberty Bell.
Especially local, yeah.
Yeah.
But if you go do it, it actually can be kind of fun. We did the Segway tour of Philadelphia. That was a blast, man. And it was stuff I had all seen before, but we still had a great time.
I mean, we had a break and I went back to the aquarium. You know, listen, it's a fun time.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll make sure we post these. This is Cosmopolitan Magazine's.
Ladies.
65 things
to do on the cheap.
And six of them are viable.
There's some okay ones there, actually. So, but anyhow, I thought those were worth sharing. You know what? You could go to dinner at Landmark Americana.
Well, there you go.
That's a good one.
And that's guaranteed sex.
Maybe. I don't know. But we can set you up with $50 gift cards that we have right now. 215-263-WMMR. You can check out their website at landmarkamericana.com. And we will give you that right now if you give us a call. Well, how many did I say I was going to give away? Did I?
You did not.
We'll take two callers, 215-263-WMMR. And it's they have five locations. Westchester on City Line Ave in Philly. University City, Glassboro, New Jersey, and opening this week in Ewing, New Jersey.
Huh.
So let's get you on board. 215-263-WMMR. We're going to take a quick break. Come back in a moment. Our friend, Mr. Craig Shoemaker, should be here. And a few other things to get to before we wrap up for the day. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston & Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest is back home for a few days. He's going to be appearing at Helium Thursday and Friday and Saturday, but he got in early and decided to stop by here, and we're going to spend some time with Mr. Craig Shoemaker, who is here this morning. What's up, man?
Hey, I'm here to collect. I had to pay your caddy fee the last time.
You did not.
Totally.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wait, what happened?
Do I owe you money?
I take him to this beautiful golf course, and you know he went free. You know,
Yeah.
When's the last time he paid for golf?
I mean, it really was the greatest course
I've ever been on. I had such a great day that day.
Yeah, what course was it?
Golf. And then I say, hey, see you later. And then the caddy's like looking at me going, where's the money?
No, dude, I gave that guy money.
You did not. Unless he was beating me for your money.
He might have beat you.
So I doubled Preston it. I doubled my money and paid yours.
I would never do that. Now, listen, I play golf a lot, but I'm pretty sure I'd tip the guy.
Really?
I'd always tip the caddy, for sure. We play Golf Mills, which is a really super-duper exclusive club.
You said Craig likes to... Craig tips with cocaine. That's his thing. Right?
Well, there was a time in comedy where you were paid in green or white.
Really?
Yeah, those are the days, baby.
Wow.
At the Comedy Factory outlet.
Well, I'm sorry we had that misunderstanding if that's the case, but I would never do that on purpose.
Yeah, do you love the way I open up with it on the air? That was a real comedy moment. I thought he'd run with it and go, hey, yeah, sure, but wait a minute, though.
You're accusing the man of being a cheapskate.
It's the etiquette of the game, man. Yeah. But anyway.
I don't even know why I played. I just did one of these celebrity golf tournaments. You know,
How often are you playing celebrity golf tournaments? Because you love the game.
A few times a year, but I'm terrible. I got a trophy for closest to the car. I mean,
that's not good.
No. And they're always like, if I don't perform comedy, nobody knows who I am.
You know what I mean?
I remember I was on Hollywood Squares. I was always Craig Shoemaker to block. They never just pick me. Nobody knows who I am.
Right.
But these foursomes, all these corporations pay a lot of money to play with you. And they're like looking at the people ahead of them. They're going, hey,
sure.
Is that John Elway up there?
Yeah.
Who are you again? And I have to give my credits. And then I'm not funny on the course, as you can attest.
Yeah, you're just playing golf.
Well, more than that, I'm playing golf with angst. led to me being a comedian.
Do you get all wound up?
I'm not terrible. I'm not throwing clubs and stuff like that.
Preston played with the comedian, you know, Steve Ranazzisi.
Uh-huh.
All right, so he
lost it.
He was having a bad day.
He had one of the worst.
Well, I've had bad days with you, but I don't like take it out.
No. He didn't. He wasn't slamming his club or anything, but he did. He quit. Like the last
quit.
Couple holes, he'd had enough. Yeah, he was. It was that bad.
What did he say?
Well, he'd finally straightened out a drive on one of the holes, and then we got to the next one, and he shanked it, and he just goes, and he's bad. it was a bad day for him, so I don't blame him. He just had it. He's like, all right, you guys finished the last couple holes, I'll just watch, you know, so it was rough.
Who's the coolest guy you've ever played with?
The coolest guy.
I mean, like that celebrity.
I that's a tough question. I had one time I played with a playmate, and that was kind of cool.
Huh. Which one?
Lisa Durgan. I stutter when I say her name because there's nothing hotter than a woman with a great golf swing and that outfit.
Do you know Paige?
Literally, I'd rather see her in that than the play, you know, nude in Playboy.
Well,
but it was Ray Romano, me and her, which was, wow, that was the threesome.
That's pretty cool.
Which already, by the way, calling it a threesome, golf is all sexual. And you play with a hottie and it's really,
yeah.
Like she goes, I think went in the water. Ray's like, I don't think you're wet. I mean, the ball that went in the water. I mean, everything's like shit. And balls and holes. And you realize it when you're playing with a hottie that I can't say a word right now.
Right.
You know, it's not going to sound sexual.
It is a sexual sport.
Yep.
What's her name? Paige?
Paige Baranek.
You know Paige Baranek?
She's a golf professional. Blonde.
Yeah. Lately, I definitely know.
Stunning. Yeah.
So on the Golf Channel.
I think she's on there. Yeah, she's a great golfer, too. Yeah.
Don't think that she's on there. Oh, she's on there. Yeah. I can assure you. Yeah. It's like Pornhub for me.
But yeah. she's apparently, like, you picked up golfing.
I've gotten some really good pointers, tips from her.
From her?
Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Good short game stuff, most definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll gives me more reason to watch.
I'll just pay attention.
Hey,
now.
I wanted to ask you about this because I didn't hear. Now, I met your son. You and I played golf out in California. Is he the one? He had an accident and broke his jaw.
That's the other son. Yeah,
that's the other
broke
son.
His jaw. His jaw was wired shut.
What happened?
What happened?
And I just was like, couldn't it be my daughter? That sounds terrible, but she's got a big mouth.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, she's a nightmare.
Yeah.
She takes over everything. She's dominant, and she's the youngest one. She's 5.
Wow.
She dominates. She meets a cat down the street. She goes, Mom, I want a cat. My wife says, your dad's allergic. She goes, let's get another dad.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not exaggerating.
She's working it. But what happened to him?
He wired shut, so he had to drink out of a straw for, I felt bad for him. But it's already at that age that they sleep all the time. You know, he's at 14.
How did he do it, though? I
mean, he sleeps. Rip Van Winkle, it looks like a nap compared to this kid.
What was the accident? What happened?
He was mountain biking out in L.A., actually way up in Big Bear, and he just took a bad turn and, it went down, broke everything, and, you know, busted everything. I felt terrible for him.
That sucks, man.
Yeah, he's already not a great student, and now he's got, look at that. They put him up on the
screen. There you go.
Got a picture of him.
You see the bruises and stuff and his wrist. And his.
So broke the jaw, his wrist, and then we're seeing his knee obviously took some.
He had scars everywhere and everything. But I felt bad for him. But his grades were already bad, and now he's the excuse.
Right.
Literally, it's one big F word. it's everything's F's now.
How many sons do you have? Two?
I have 4 kids altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all completely different.
Really?
Yeah. One at college. He's at outside of Pittsburgh.
I saw a couple of, I think, a picture. You came by with him to the camp out. Didn't you? Yeah.
Oh, well, good looking. Yeah, real good. Everybody always says that. Even straight guys. Yeah. Your kid's a good looking kid.
He is.
There he is right there doing. I make him be my ventriloquist dummy when I'm performing. As they always say, send us a video that we can play. And ventriloquists make all the money. They win America's Got Talent.
I know.
I made him the dummy, and I said, I'll just press your back every time I want you to open your mouth. So it's actually pretty good. I don't move my lips. I subject my kids to all this. I say, look, if you want things. You want college? I have to do this.
Yeah,
right? I got to promote. Daddy's got to promote. And
do they fully understand? I mean, the nature. Obviously, since they've been around it all their lives, but do they understand what that you? Because you see a regular 9-to-5 job, but what you do is train is a different thing. Do they just think it's
no? I mean, there's been some blowback.
Oh, really?
Well, definitely. When I come home to Philadelphia, like all my family, they all the stalkers are out. Like, if I talked about them right now, it goes into a restraining order.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The family's not real accepting of, because that's what I do. I'm just honest about, you know, I shouldn't have been so honest this morning about Preston beating the
skipping out on the deal. I'm out of here, man.
See, now he's like, I'm going to get a call from him later.
Yeah.
But my family, they don't like it. But I was like, if you didn't like it, then you shouldn't have treated me like that when you were a kid.
Yeah.
My dad would, like, come back. He would come back every so often, you know, with a new scheme. He called himself an entrepreneur, which is a French word for scam artist.
Right. Yeah.
And he would like, literally, like, how can you not talk about this, or make, how can you not be a comedian when you hear the things that he did?
What was his, what would he identify as his occupation?
One of them, was he calls my mother. He goes, "Hey, Barbara, you want your child support check? Invite your big breasted friends over. I'm selling bras." And he had a bra business. Now, I understand, I hadn't seen him in years. He left when I was born.
Whoa, wow.
You know, something okay. I said, yeah. He was gone.
Yeah.
And so he would come back every few years with a new scheme, and this one was the classic. I was like 7 years old. I hadn't seen him in years. And I look in the living room. There he is smoking a pipe with my, in quotes, Aunt Barbara, Aunt Fran, Aunt Dottie, and right. They're all in bras. And he's sitting there going, "Come on, Dottie, show how it lifts and separates. Turn around. It's just you women and me. Don't be shy.
God.
Because this is our three-class model for the full-figured woman." He's got this whole pitch on the bras. And I'm looking, I'm going, this guy's a genius.
Right, right, right.
And
that bit went bust.
Literally. And then he converted cesspools to sewers, but he would put me in Cape May, New Jersey.
Jesus.
I had to get underground with a mini shovel and meet him. He'd be on a lawn chair waiting for me as I dug like a mole.
People die doing that.
Yeah.
I lived.
Yeah.
I made it one summer in Cape May, New Jersey.
Yeah.
I made it. And then when I was down there, same summer, I caught a shark. And the next thing he goes, this is good meat. He goes, let's run a shark business. So the next thing you know, he finds these things on sale. You know those things in Normandy, those boats,
yeah.
Those landing crafts?
Yeah.
That just carry dudes and then the doors open and they go onto the beach?
Yeah, the
amphibious.
He
bought six of those. Okay. He goes, yeah, they're from World War II. You just patch the bullet holes. They're as good as new. I got them for $1. So he gets six of these things, and he buys a little beach outside of Cape May. And
for shark fishing?
He's going to make shark. He goes, yeah, recreation's the number one industry in the world. Your sister can run the bait shop. He's got this whole plan for the sharks.
What a character.
And you go, and you needed like a machete to get to the beach.
Yeah.
And it looked like the invasion of Tarawa. Here's all these landing crafts. And we had to go down to Norfolk, Virginia to go get them, and he made me, oh, God.
You know, like,
it was torture, because I always wanted to bond with my dad,
yeah.
But he would make me do these things. I had to sleep in a car with a fat guy who kept snoring, and I couldn't get the windows down. I slept under the car in the gravel.
Wow. Did you ever?
Just to get out of there.
Did you ever bond with him at all?
I always tried through the years, and next thing you know, he has 75 mules in the Poconos.
Oh, you told us a story.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
And a harem of women. He calls it his harem. He goes, I'm the king of the Poconos. You can be part of my empire.
That's
you get
right.
Part over that comedy crap.
Yeah.
I go, what am I going to be, prince of the Poconos? Just give up the comedy.
Jesus.
So I got involved with that. That I got more involved with. Me and my buddies would go up on weekends.
The Pocono mule deal, yeah.
Yeah, the mule. Then one time I'm getting a tour. I came back from... They're giving me a tour of the Caesars.
I was playing
Caesars. They think I'm some big California comedian. They don't know I'm from here.
Yeah.
I go, oh, over here, we got our racquetball. Over there, you got your quoits. You know what quoits are? With the Shemokin accent.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, there's A.J. Shoemaker and his harem. What's that nut doing here? And I got to say these words. That's my dad. He walks up and he steals my complimentary cheese tray. He goes, yeah, the girls at the ranch will love this. Judy loves Gouda. Takes my cheese tray. I hadn't seen him in years.
Have you ever thought of, you know, this is a story here.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of committing this to
funny? You should say that.
Yeah.
Strange coincidence. You saying that just last night? I called this co-writer. I wrote a sitcom about called Stand Up Dad, about a guy, you know, basically biography.
But, really?
And I said, let's turn it into a movie because I'm producing a lot of movies now.
So you're doing one actually. You're leaving. You're going to go.
I'm flying from here to Pittsburgh to go to Youngstown, Ohio. We start filming this week on a film I'm producing.
Because
big production company. Now. It's awesome. I love it.
Preston commented on you have a scruff.
I got the. I'm growing up. It's supposed to be a beard. So far, people goes nice scruff.
Yeah. So what's
the
movie?
I'm hoping it fills in a little more. It's called Roadkill McGillicuddy. It's got Richard Dreyfuss, David Arquette, Treat Williams.
Dude, that's awesome.
Laura Bell Bundy, who was in Legally Blonde. She's great. And
you're producing?
Producing, yeah. Cast most of the actors. It's really, yeah. It's
I think you were telling me.
Richard Dreyfuss, though, to me is a legend.
Unbelievable.
He's in one of the best scenes in history in Jaws, right? When you say one of the best scenes in film history?
Not sure. Maybe.
Oh, he's talking about the Indianapolis, the sinking of where they're sitting around the table, and they're comparing wounds.
Right.
And Quinn goes,
exactly.
Anyway, we delivered the bomb.
But what's weird is I did Roy Scheider. I was acted with Roy Scheider in his who's in that scene. Acted with him in his last film before he died. I hope it's not the same here. Dreyfuss is in his 80s now.
Yeah, but he's amazing.
Oh my God! Yeah.
When did this kick into full gear?
A production company. I merged with another one, and then we had another guy came on board. So we have distribution now. So we're making a lot of film and television, and it's a blast. We had a kickoff concert with. It was my old Kenny Loggins, REO Speedwagon, the Bangles, and all these American Idol in our parking lot.
That's cool.
Out in L.A., but in the suburbs. So it was really cool because, you know, Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, sure. And REO Speedwagon. I know the whole group, yeah.
So I bring REO Speedwagon, Kevin, I bring him on stage, and he goes, you know, Kenny, this is in front of 300 people in our parking lot. Howie Mandel was there. Yeah. It was wild. All of a sudden, he tells this story. He goes, I've never met you before. I always wanted to tell you this. I got a script back in the 80s. We were very hot, and we were getting all the scripts. And it was for a movie, and it was very light on dialogue, a lot of action. And I just wasn't really feeling it or getting it. And it was this guy Tom Cruise was in it. Because it was a little movie called Top Gun.
Wow.
And Kenny turns to him in front of all of us and goes, so you passed? He goes, yeah, I passed. And Kenny goes, thanks for passing.
Yeah.
And then Kenny tells a story about he was only offered the volleyball scene. And he goes, then he got a call. He said, well, our first choice for Danger Zone is out. So the song is yours. And he goes, I'll take it. It made millions of dollars. And then they did Danger Zone together in our parking lot, which was really cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty cool. And now Kenny's son works for me. When I toured with Kenny, it was my first big break. And now his son would tail me. He was like 7 years old. He goes, I want to be a comedian.
Yeah.
But I lost touch with him all these years. And then Kenny goes, can you mentor him and take him? I said, yeah, he can work for me. And he shows up, he's 6'9" and 36 years old now.
Holy
But he's
hell.
Still, and now he opens for me.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Kind of gave back to Kenny for giving me my big break.
Yeah. Well, I was on
Broadway with him and stuff, which was just an amazing dream come true. Except my idiot friends from Philadelphia came up drunk. They're drunk going, they're coming down the aisle, I'm on Broadway. Yo, shoe! Yeah. Tell me about the time you wet your pants in Miss Timel's class.
Yeah.
Steiny's funnier than he is. Steiny's the first boobs he ever felt. Tell him! I'm on Broadway. They're screaming at me.
Yeah, yeah.
They're drunk. They rode the Amtrak up to New York to go see me open for Kenny on Broadway.
Is it a risky proposition when you do stuff around here and the friends find out about it?
Risky proposition for if they,
if they find out and show up like that?
No, they're getting a little calmer now.
Okay.
I just got together with a couple yesterday. Our conversation, it's all, because guys, it's about conquest.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about? We're all married with kids. Hey, I did my wife again last night.
Right.
Oh, that's three times this month. She's a hoe. Damn. We talk about how much we don't get it.
Right.
Yeah. Not a lot of conquest going on right now.
Well, that's cool. With the production and everything, congratulations.
I'm love producing.
Yeah.
You know what? I really believe this about comedians is we know more what the country wants than anybody does.
Right.
Because, you know, I deal with Hollywood. It's all these agents, and they all look the same. They all have these, you know, those suits. They all do the agent stuff.
Right.
They all go to the same parties. And I was like, I am with the people that are watching what you're creating.
Yeah. Right.
And they're not creative at all. So I said, why not? I'm going to form this production company. And I deal with a lot of comedians as well. You know, they're great writers, and we have them come in. And I just finished that show, Fuller House.
Okay.
I was writing on that show.
Yeah. Oh,
writing.
Yeah, I was writing on the show, and by the way, never again.
Really?
No, why not? Oh,
what was the experience
it's
like?
It's like being in jury duty. You're with 12 people every day. I'm sure you guys are annoyed with one another.
Well, actually, we're pretty good.
No, I'm just kidding. No, this is different, though. You're having fun. There, it's almost like competition.
Yeah,
I remember one time,
because
you're sitting there with a screen in front of you, right? And there's a person who's writing everything that you're saying.
Right.
And it goes up on the screen. You're just pitching ideas. And I pitched an idea, and somebody says to me, this woman next to me, this writer, it's very competitive, too, because everybody wants the job next year. She goes, you leaned up to tell that joke?
Oh, man.
Look at your reaction right now.
Yeah,
that was my reaction. I was in such shock that she would do this, but I didn't have... I didn't really like have the guts to come back at her. It's an hierarchy thing. It's an hierarchy thing, and she had a higher position. So I didn't say anything, and I was in such a daze because it reminded me of, like, why I am a comedian. You know, you get picked on when you're a kid and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, wow, what do I do?
Yeah, that's annoying
like,
as hell.
And like, plus, it was a female, and female voices hurt me more than, like, my mom is very judgmental.
Right.
My navigational system judges me. I'd made one little wrong turn. I could have sworn on my iPhone, heard the eyes roll. Rerouting. I mean, really, this is how deep it is for me. And for her to do it, it was just a deeper wound.
Yeah. Was it somebody we would know?
The writer?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Definitely would not.
Because a lot of times they're comedians.
She got fired, by the way.
Really?
We all got fired. But it was just, it's a chemistry thing, and it's very difficult because the writers are more desperate than I. Plus, they resented me because the guy, the producer, let me keep my comedy job. So they would be in the room.
Right, yeah.
And they're all pale.
Yeah.
And I come back with a tan, and I go, where were you? I was in Hawaii. Where are you guys? Right here.
Yeah.
So that was not, you know, I was literally allowed to have days off to go do comedy. That was part of my deal. I said, if you want me to do this for this kind of lower.
You didn't write on the original, did you?
The original? Oh, no, it was actually up to be Joey, though. I was the.
Wow.
If I could tell you the amount of the parts that I almost got, things that I turned down, like Survivor, I go, this will never work.
As the host?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I went on that.
I was hosting a show on VH1. He was as well, and they brought us both in, and it was like, hey, here's a show.
What a gig. What a gig.
Yeah, he was doing Rock and Roll Jeopardy.
And I was doing My Generation on VH1. Okay. We both were on a VH1 show.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said so many of those where I'm going, how's this going to work? Because you go into a room, like I did Deal or No Deal. I went on that one, too. And you're going in, and you go, it's people in a conference room, like executives. And you're going, show us the case.
Right.
They've done it 100 times already that day.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world are you supposed to? And I'm going, this is so boring, this show. Another big hit.
Yeah, Howie Mandel. Yeah.
I'm not good at picking the hits, I guess.
Well, so that didn't have a long shelf life, though. It was a hot.
A couple years, and
then
it burned out.
It was hot for a little while, and then again, everybody got bored of it. It's like, all right, you're just.
They get bored of all of them, pretty much, right? Yeah. There's not many that have.
Well, not Survivor.
And, thanks a pantload for rubbing that one. They never got bored of Survivor that. Is true.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, if you were on Survivor, you would only just be in paradise right now. Oh, wait.
Well, I'd be away from my kids. And that's
it. Yeah.
I now have the family that I've always wanted. Like, I come from a family that doesn't want me. And,
a dysfunctional family.
No good. You know, I mean,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so now I created this family, but the problem is when I go on the road, that's why I want to produce more. My son, I couldn't wait to be called daddy.
Yeah.
The first word he ever called me, he looks at me, he goes, airport. Calls me a freaking
airport.
He memorized that word because he would pick me up at the airport all the time. Yeah, that's all he knew about Daddy. Daddy was an airport.
So when's this movie with the Dreyfus movie? When's the scheduled or the planned release for it?
Well, probably they usually come out like in 9 months or something.
Okay,
like that. We'll shoot it in a couple months, and I mean that's how long it'll take. It's in Youngstown, Ohio.
That's very cool.
I just did one in Nashville called Ticket to Nashville, and that was cool. It was about music. Yeah, it's so much more fun. You know, I still love stand up.
But do you think at some point you'll make the full jump into producing and leave stand up?
I would only choose the stand up gigs that I wanted to
there
do.
There you go.
I played Borgata this summer. I always loved playing there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, only the ones I want to do. I'm
still
not
be able to do it for fun, have a good time.
Yeah, I ain't heading to Wingaloogie, Michigan to do 9 shows.
Yeah.
You know.
And, yucks. But Helium you'll do because it's a top-level club.
It is. Yes. It is. Yeah. And all the Philadelphia, all the old friends come and
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
It is funny, the conversations, how they've changed through the years.
Yeah.
Now we talk about medical reports.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
We talk about your aches and your solutions to the aches and pains and stuff like that.
But you're in good shape.
I don't talk about it, but they do. And I'm going, guys, you got to stop this. Yeah, it's not my thing. I'm not, you know, I am healthier out there. But of course, I got a vegan wife. She's a very new agey, too, and she keeps me, you know, she actually says to me, do you know it's spiritual to fart? She says that. I go, well, you're married to Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
You know, the covers are going to be Dutch oven. You'll be praying, all right?
The Dutch oven. Yeah.
She gets turned on if I compost. It's unbelievable the difference.
Wow.
I'm in here with Scrapple territory.
Yeah,
I introduced her to that. So that was not happening.
Is she a California gal? Or
she's from Japan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's California.
Just one ocean apart.
Yeah,
that's right? That's it.
Yeah, it's weird that she's... she's half Japanese, doesn't have any accent whatsoever, but she's like a translator. She was a union worker on movie sets as an electrician, too.
Wow. Well, that's so... You have an electrician at home.
I know.
That's awesome.
You think she would do more of it, too, but she doesn't. No, we have to. I said, why don't we hire an electrician? She goes, it's a different kind of electrician.
Well, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, she is. We're looking at a picture right here.
Well, you guys are like busting out all these pictures and stuff here. Very beautiful. My new car. Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah, she is really chill. I love that. I don't have the same relationship with my ex-wife.
Right.
By the way, all my shows this weekend at Helium are, I forgot to tell you, are benefit shows.
Okay.
All proceeds go to my ex-wife.
Very good.
So I'll let you know that your cover goes to Botox and Pilates.
It's a good cause.
Wonderful. Botox and Pilates.
it's a true story. It's as true as it gets.
Unfortunately, we got to wrap it up, but Craig is going to be in town for a while. And it's a couple days out, so you're here to hang out and see friends and so
forth. Are we golfing this week?
Not now.
I know you're going to pay for my caddy. Right?
We'll settle up after the interview. But Thursday at 8, and so then you've got two shows on Friday and Saturday as well.
Yeah, follow me on Facebook, on my fan page, and Twitter. I'm the Love Master. Craig Shue on Instagram. I need more followers. My son's busting my agate about
yes.
this. It's because you tweet like a mom. Nobody wants to see your kid pictures.
You can go to heliumcomedy.com. Good to see you, my man.
You too, bro.
Welcome back to town. Craig Shoemaker, guys. Helium Comedy Club. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
50-day March to Metallica continues with your shot to meet the band, all part of the MMR 50th finale with Metallica. Your chance to qualify happens every single day leading up to the big show, Thursday, October 25th, an indoor blowout the new sound system mega rock extravaganza at Wells Fargo Center.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
And now we've upped the ante with a major prize edition. Tickets to go along with each daily prize. It's MMR's 50th finale with Metallica. On sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. Listen for complete concert coverage from the venue with Jackson and Jackie Bam Bam. 93.3 WMMR and Metallica. Everything that rocks.
We'll get into the Bizarre File right about now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
This morning is brought to you by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? So a schoolboy had his drink spiked with Viagra by a classmate. This was while they were on a school trip in Berlin.
There you go.
The 15-year-old had been on a 6-day trip to the German capital when the incident happened. 80 pupils were on the trip when they were learning about the Cold War and the Holocaust.
I don't care about Cold War. I'm horny.
The 15-year-old had been on a 6-day trip to the German capital. It was said the youngster's first ever trip, and he was left humiliated after news of what happened spread to another school. The boy's father said he did it to be nasty, meaning the person who put it in there, and advertised it on Snapchat as well. The 16-year-old who spiked the drink has since been suspended for 2 days. The boy's father said that he should have received a harsher punishment.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, he put chemicals in the kid's drink.
2-day suspension for putting a child's life in danger is appalling, the father said. Viagra can be dangerous for men who have heart problems. It's not known how the boy got a hold of the drug, which is not allowed for those under 18 years of age.
Yeah, I was surprised when he said 2 days.
Yeah. A woman accused of pulling a smoking device from a place not often associated with smoking was arrested. Police jailed Patricia Tooley, 52 years old, on 3 charges of the incidents. She reportedly plucked a burnt crack cocaine pipe from her private parts and gave it to a sergeant.
Wow.
You're going to want to clean that. You can keep that.
Yeah.
The case began when police
smells like spam.
Went to an apartment complex. A man reported being in his apartment. Smells like spam. A man reported being in his apartment and hearing a commotion. The man went outside and saw two women fighting. He heard a woman identified as Tooley say the police were coming.
The police are coming.
Next, he said, Tooley.
Oh, Jesus, I got a crack pipe in my cooter.
Uh-oh. Next, he said, Tooley lowered her shorts and inserted something.
He just put it right up there.
It was
a little pouch of God made for me.
It wasn't immediately clear whether her shorts had pockets.
What shorts?
Tooley was arrested and taken to the county jail, where investigators say she removed a glass cylindrical object from inside of her and turned it over to a sergeant.
No pizza or bagel that I didn't finish this morning.
Oh, my God. Keeping it warm.
Nice and toasty the way I like it.
The pipe had burn marks and was identified by police as...
Oh, yeah, I'm right. I've nailed that voice.
Crack cocaine smoking device. You're right, Steve.
Yeah, yeah, we're just looking at the mugshot.
Oh, man.
I know.
One more story?
Yeah.
Okay. God, they're all bad. I can't do that. Let's end with this story.
I can check myself and see if there's a shorter story.
I love this. I love this story. Someone put googly eyes on a statue in Savannah's Johnson Square on Thursday, and city officials don't think it's funny. It's actually hilarious. You've got to see a
googly
picture of
eyes
it.
Are funny.
On the Facebook page, it said, "It may look funny, but harming our historic monuments and public property is no laughing matter." Look at this picture up here.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry. It looks funny.
In fact, it says it is a crime. We are hoping to find the person responsible. If you have information, please call the Savannah Police Department.
Well, they're adhesive. You can just take them off.
Yeah, trespassing charges, though, will be filed because the culprit had to cross a fence to do the deed. Security camera footage is being reviewed to help police department determine when the eyes were put on and who may have done it. There wasn't any damage to the statue.
There's a great SNL bit where Christopher Walken is a florist and he sells the plants and he puts googly eyes on them to make them. No. It's just a weird skit, but
I love it.
Googly eyes are funny.
All right, there you go. That's what I got in the bizarre file for you. We're going to take another quick break. We will come back in a moment. Let's give away Yards IPA.
Yeah.
With Minnesota in town this weekend. No, I think that's a little outdated.
No, that was the wrong one.
Righty.
But I'll tell you what.
We're heading to the Super Bowl.
Let's double up then. Let's double up. Give away that, and then I'll hand you a Yards IPA as well.
Okay, so let me give away another $50 gift card to Landmark Americana, who came in with Yards this morning. And I will take callers 8 and 9 at 215-263-WMMR. And a mystery caller gets a case of beer. How about that?
Yay!
We'll set you up with that. All right, so give us a call, and you can get that. Never mind. We'll be back in a minute. You stay with
us. My bad.
That's all right.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Should I let it keep going? Play the piano part?
I love this part.
Okay, here we go. Tickle the Ivories.
Where are you folks from?
Yes, we know the microphones are on, by the way. I'm just talking. WMMR. Yes. Space Hog in the meantime on MMR. I do. You have to make that decision at the end. Do you let that little beautiful thing play out or do you cut it off?
I love it.
Get right to business. I do like it too. It is 10 minutes after 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Man, I'm sorry. I'm burping up a storm, but
you're having a revelation over there.
Landmark Americana came by with Yards Brewing. The mac and cheese. It's actually short rib mac and cheese. Gotta be.
Are you gonna say it?
It could be a bold statement.
Are you gonna say it?
It could be the best I've ever had.
Whoa!
That's a bold statement. Whoa. It could be the best I've ever had.
Preston Elliott has just identified the best mac and cheese he's ever had.
It's got short rib, shredded short rib on top there, but they peppered it up really nice.
Like
regular black pepper. It's very, very good.
I'll have to try some because you are definitely raving.
Thank you guys for bringing that by here today. All right. We have a lesson question to ask of you, and we have some goodies to give away if you can answer correctly. We're going to give away a pair of tickets for Pierre Presents Rival Sons. And I have details on them coming up in just a little while. But the question, and you have to be at least 21 in order to win these tickets. It's going to be Tuesday, October 23rd, so that's next Tuesday. Casey knows someone who is distantly related to John Adams. Steve knows someone who's connected to which show? And there's a connection to John Adams. You had to have been listening earlier this morning. It was like before 7 a.m. when we mentioned this. Casey knows someone who is distantly related to John Adams, but Steve knows someone who's connected to what show? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer, and we'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning it's brought to you by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you get expert advice and the best coverage for you. Plus, with new lower auto rates, they can help you save. So call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Will Smith revealing on wife Jada Pinkett Smith's Facebook show Red Table Talk that the worst time in his marriage was when she cried for 45 days straight. Smith says the second worst time was day 46 when she told him, "You know what you did."
Hey!
Ariana Grande was apparently the one who pulled the plug on her engagement with Pete Davidson, leaving the SNL star devastated. Still, Grande says she's leaving the door open so she can tell him that the door is open to make him falsely believe that the door is open.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And finally, it's official. Kendra Wilkinson is completely divorced from Hank Baskett after signing the final documents. Kendra says she fought for the marriage all the way until it became obvious there wasn't a TV show in it. And that's Charlie Richard.
All right. We'll see if somebody knows the answer. So Casey knows someone who's distantly related to John Adams, and Steve knows someone who's connected to what television show? I will go to John for the answer. Hey, John, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, buddy. All right, so Casey knows somebody related to John Adams. Steve knows someone on what show?
Grizzly Adams.
Grizzly Adams, yes.
Still pretty cool.
Hang on a second, John. We are going to take care of you with a pair of tickets for Pierre Presents Rival Sons, Tuesday, October 23rd at Ardmore Music Hall. It's an invitation-only 21 and over event. With professional recording by our friends at Andre Recording and Production. Details and a list of featured events where you can win tickets are available at WMMR.com. Let's do the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, it's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. And fuel up this fall at Dunkin' with $2 any size iced coffees from 2 to 6 p.m. Try any of Dunkin's delicious flavors like maple pecan or pumpkin. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Since I started with Rival Sons in, with our giveaway, let's, not Rival Sons, the Revivalists.
The Revivalist Sons.
Damn it.
The new supergroup.
Is that what this was?
Okay.
All right, I'll mention this. The Revivalist. We have, by the way, there's like bands with Revive and there's a bands with Sons in them, and I'm getting confused.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. I want my country back.
Yeah.
I read a whole story yesterday that was about the pay website Venmo. I thought that the article was about Venom.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Well, thank you for commiserating.
It's okay.
The Revivalists have announced their 2019 Take Good Care headlining tour, and it's going to kick off January 11th in Washington, D.C. We'll wrap up in Key West, Florida, and they are going to come through our area, and they will be doing a show January 12th at the Metropolitan Opera House.
Uh-huh.
And you know who's opening?
The new venue. What's that?
The opener is the Glorious Revival Sons, I believe.
The Glorious Revival Sons?
Yeah, they're good. Yeah, they're really good. We had them in studio, I think.
So the fan club pre-sale tickets are available today at 10 a.m. with general sales beginning on Friday at 10 a.m. A digital download of the Revivalist new album, Take Good Care, is included with every ticket purchase. So they'll be coming to our area, which is very, very good. Former Blink-182 singer-guitarist Tom DeLonge, his To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences, which he founded last year to study the paranormal, strange technology, and the possibility of extraterrestrial life, currently has a $37 million deficit, according to a recent Securities and Exchange Commission filing.
So it was a good investment.
Despite the Stars' open invitation for Americans to purchase stocks in the company, To the Stars has only raised about $1 million. But the company is carrying a $37 million deficit, largely due to an employee stock incentive plan during its first year of operation.
$37 million?
Yeah. The SEC filing notes that these issues raise doubt about the company's ability to continue as a going concern.
I understand that the job entails ghost hunting. I wanted to know what your 401k is like.
The financial filing states that To the Stars intends to remain in business over the next 12 months by selling additional stock. DeLong himself weighed in on Instagram about the financial situation, calling the initial report on it highly misleading. He said, this article is highly misleading, grossly mischaracterizes the statement in an SEC filing. Author Eric Berger apparently did not even read the filing in its entirety and clearly did not understand the excerpt of the SEC filing that he quotes. Approximately $37 million stockholders' deficit is not debt, as he characterized it, but is attributable to stock-based compensation expense.
Mm-hmm.
Following the now-deleted Instagram post, Ars Technica changed the story to reflect a more accurate picture of the company's finances.
So what's going on here?
I don't know. They're hoping to win the lottery.
Yeah.
They're hoping to win the Mega Millions today.
Or find a ghost.
DeLong also tweeted last month that the Academy had four very big things happen this month, adding that it was working on something that will be international in scope and extraordinarily ambitious.
We got our vending machine.
Yeah, maybe that's international news, ladies and gentlemen.
We've got our vending machine.
Volbeat frontman Michael Polson was asked if a new song that the band has been playing live called The Everlasting is indicative of the direction of the group's new LP or next LP. Polson replied and said, the new song definitely has a heavy touch, but it's impossible for me to say if that's the direction for the next album because we have so much material right now that we have to go through. He said the Danish-American band will head home and finish going through the material it's compiled before going into the studio in November. He said, when you have that signature sound, it's so much in your DNA how to write songs and how you sound like.
Okay. Yeah, how you sound like.
But we're still in the process where we can develop the Volbeat style and progress the Volbeat style. So they're working. They have music.
They got it down pat, man. Yeah. Guys. You do Volbeat.
You guys, you do Volbeat. Pearl Jam honored late Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen with a little tribute to their hometown. The band took to Twitter on Monday to share a photo of a Seattle Seahawks guitar pick with the caption, R.I.P. Paul Allen. Thank you for your immeasurable contributions to the community and beyond. Rock on. Allen, who owned the Seahawks, died of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma earlier in the day at 65 years old.
Was he close to Eddie and the band?
I'm not sure, but I think he was just a big presence in Seattle,
yeah,
for sure.
Nick, they developed a friendship.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, and part of it actually came from Eddie calling him out a couple of times for not contributing enough to Seattle charities and things like that.
Wow.
And so
Did he respond by doing that?
He did, and it was an interesting friendship that developed as a result. I was at a concert in Seattle in 2002, and I wouldn't say Eddie trashed him, but he said, you can do more. You have billions of dollars, and Paul actually kind of took that to heart. And did a lot for Seattle, and then Eddie apologized. He was like, "Listen, I wasn't trying to be an a-hole about it." And the whole band kind of became friendly with Paul Allen.
Well, that's cool. I apologize. I've been away from Nick for very long, and I'm not myself.
God damn, that was 5 years ago this week.
Unbelievable! Oh, that's amazing.
That when he sent the song out to you,
the shout out from stage. Yeah,
wow. I'm gonna call out somebody else too, Sasquatch. You live here. How come you don't chip in? I see you. I see what you did with the Hendersons. You helped them out.
Can help other people out, man.
So you laughing watching that TV with the Reagan on it?
Bedtime for Bonzo?
That's right. Okay. This is funny. Your big feet.
Hence the name.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about Sasquatch, but
Big and huge feet.
Yeah,
yeah. Harry. Maybe inordinately large. It's like the end of... Looking over there, it's Obi-Wan and Reagan.
Like Star Wars, the end.
And they're little
Yoda, Reagan, and Obi-Wan.
Oh my
God. What the hell am I doing here? A president you were. That's right.
That's Harry laughing. All right. One last story. As if that wasn't bizarre enough.
Yeah.
And strong.
Smashing Pumpkins have released a music video for their current single called Silvery Sometimes Ghost, directed by Billy Corgan and Linda Strawberry.
Ooh, that is a tasty little morsel.
The clip is a spoof on cult horror movie conventions. Linda Strawberry, is she hot?
No, but strawberries in general are tasty.
Oh, okay.
I like the style that they did this, Preston. It's sort of like an art deco, old style. You know, looking at what they did right here.
In the clip, the Pumpkins are challenged by a smarmy radio host.
Ooh.
Played by Sugar Ray's Mark McGrath. To spend the night in a haunted house as part of a Halloween promotional stunt. And the band's activities in the house are live streamed to fans as evil ventriloquist dolls, devil skulls, and demonic creatures are coming into the picture.
I think I want to see that.
The video release follows a recent announcement of the band's upcoming 30th anniversary live shows, which kick off November 28th in Wisconsin. And then one last thing, Pierre Presents Rival Sons. I need to mention the ticket rate events that are coming up. And we have one today. No, I'm sorry. It's next Tuesday. At noon. No, that's the performance. Jesus.
You all right there?
Well, I don't.
Ticket rates today.
Okay, here it is. Okay. The first 100 people at Ardmore Music Hall's Black Joe Lewis and the Honey Bears concert today will receive a pair of tickets to Pierre Presents Rival Sons.
The first 100 people today to go to that concert from Joe Lewis and who?
No. It was Joe Lewis and the Honey Bears.
Okay.
So that's today.
All right.
Black Joe Lewis is an acclaimed blues, funk, and soul artist influenced by Howlin' Wolf, James Brown, and Lenny Kravitz.
Well, that's a good mix.
So if you want to get details, you can go to ardmoremusic.com, and you shall get them all right there. And this event, like I said, is next Tuesday, but you can get tickets today. It's sponsored by Ocean Resort Casino Atlantic City. Rooms for $79. Go to theoceanac.com. And that's all I have in music news for you.
There you go.
Morning. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a moment. I'm dying for you guys to see the tattoo that our listener got. And it's a new tattoo artist that we haven't met as well. Amazing work. And we'll get you the details on that when we return, as well as the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Coldplay on 93.3 WMMR. It's Everything That Rocks. Good morning to you. And a Tuesday, flying right by. It's 10:34 already. Pierre's going to be in here in a little bit. And when he comes in, we'll get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. One of the things that has been taking place in the studio, besides me eating more of that short rib mac and cheese, oh my God, it's so good. It just keeps me burping like crazy. But we have had Tattoos Day taking place, and Tattoos Day. Hey. We want to welcome to the studio listener Brian, who is here.
Yeah.
And we also would like to welcome our tattoo artist, and she is from Seven Swords Tattoo Company in Fishtown. This is Crystal, everybody.
Hi.
Hello, Crystal.
Hi.
We're going to talk to Brian first. So this was an interesting scenario. Brian's son was initially scheduled to come in and get the tattoo. What's your son's name?
Timothy.
All right. And for some reason, he couldn't make it?
Yeah, he was sick.
So you just jumped in and said, I'll go get it done?
Yeah, he said he talked to an intern and they said I can get it done.
Yeah, our interns pretty much give the go-ahead on everything anyway, so that's cool. So he spoke to an intern and said, yeah. Now, this is a last-second tattoo decision for you?
Yep.
This is, it's, all right, there's a couple of levels here where it blows the mind, Preston.
Yeah.
Start with the first, which is the size.
Number one, it's top of the shoulder to elbow. It's his entire right bicep, shoulder, and down to the elbow. So it's a full upper arm tattoo. And second of all, it's gritty,
yeah,
man. It's gritty from the flyers.
This could potentially be the first gritty tattoo
of anyone
or ever.
There's probably some gritties, but I will put this in the upper. This has to be. The flyers need to see this.
It's huge, and not only that, Crystal, it's awesome.
Thanks.
It's such a great piece of work. And underneath it is the Flyers logo. Well, there's a silhouette of the city. And so that goes from gritty into the silhouette of the city. And
the
then,
gritty city.
And then into the Flyers logo. And then very large, it says Preston and Steve underneath that.
Man.
Which is pretty amazing.
A lot done in a little time.
Yeah. I wanted to tag you guys' names.
You know, that's awesome. So we definitely have to make sure that it gets over to our peeps over at the Flyers because they'll be amply impressed. But I love, Preston, the kinetic nature of gritty.
Yeah.
As captured in the picture. Yeah. You just can't help but laugh when you look at it.
It looks great. And she captured the googly eyes well because his left eye is pointed in one direction and the right eye is pointed in another direction. What do you think about that, Brian?
That's awesome.
It's pretty amazing. You have to be a lifelong Flyers fan in order to get that.
Yeah.
Okay. I just hope that gritty isn't some failed project that we find out next year they're going to discontinue.
I don't think so.
You know what, though? Regardless, it's still, well, what is that? For a brief period, that was the mascot.
Right.
It works no matter what. So is your son okay? Is we just talking regular, flu or something?
Yeah,
okay.
Flu, yeah.
All right. We wouldn't want to think there was something.
I can't believe you stepped in and did this. That's just insane. That's pretty awesome. But you've had some other work done as well, right? So this wasn't anything new to you.
No.
You see on his other arm, Preston, it says IHOB.
Nice. Crystal, nice work. And by the way, we have spoke of Crystal before. She was bringing me up to speed on. Because you were on the cover of the New York Post.
I was.
And it was a story about people with tattoos, extensive tattoos.
And their love life.
And their love life and how it affects that.
Mm-hmm.
And how is your love life, by the way?
Interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah. Is it active right now, or are you seeing anybody?
No.
Okay.
I discontinued that a few days ago.
Oh, okay. She freshly broke up. But the idea was that for some people, and you have very cool tattoos, but that can be a deal killer for some people.
Yeah.
And so if I'm like on a dating site, someone meets you and sees you in person, they go, oh, no, I'll pass on it. Now, for other people, I mean, we all think they look awesome. Yeah. So for other people, is it like, hey, awesome?
It's more or less they want something from you. They want free tattoos.
So they
want you to be like their sugar mama.
Her being an artist, she had said a lot of times it'll happen that
they're
way.
They're looking for cheap tattoos. Wow.
And Crystal had said, no, you got to wait a year of dating first, right? What's that?
There you are. Yeah.
On the cover. Yeah. So you got to wait a year before you'll give somebody you're dating a tattoo, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's her rule.
That is a good rule, yeah.
Nice. And so you're at Seven Swords Tattoo Company?
I am. That's in Fishtown.
Okay. And easy to make an appointment with you?
Yeah. You can just go to my website, which is KRISTELORETO.com.
Okay.
And then you can stop in the shop anytime. We have a killer crew of people. We take walk-ins. Just come in and see us.
Well, this is phenomenal work that you did in just a short order. And there's so much that you didn't miss a beat on anything. So,
I'm impressed.
Good work.
By the way, Brian, where are you from?
Williamstown, New Jersey.
And what is it that you do, Brian?
In social work.
You're in social work?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Is there anybody you want to say hello to while you got the mic?
Just my son.
Okay.
Yeah.
And his name again?
Timothy.
All right, Timothy. And I don't know if we'll see him in here someday, but, you know, maybe he'll get, I don't know. Gritty's offspring, if
yes.
that ever happens.
Grittens.
All right. Well, cool. Well, enjoy this tattoo. It looks phenomenal, man. And nice to see you, Brian.
Yeah, you too.
Everybody's just nodding today.
I know. Listen, he's blown away by the absolute impeccable quality of his new gritty tattoo.
Thank you, Crystal.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Nice to meet you. All right, Tattoo Tuesday. There they go, guys.
Yeah.
All right. And we'll post pictures of that. That's badass. I really, really do like that one. Welcoming. Well, you know what? Real quick before we bring Pierre over, and we'll have to have you guys move because we need to free up a microphone for the man who's coming in. Thank you to Craig Shoemaker, who was on the show this morning. Craig's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight. Thursday night, an 8 o'clock show. And then Friday and Saturday, 7:30 and 10 p.m. Hometown guy. Happy to be back. You can go to heliumcomedy.com. To get more information and to get your tickets. And thank you to Yards Brewing and Landmark Americana, the City Line location who came in, landmarkamericana.com. And, man, that was some great food. So we appreciate him being here. Pierre is indeed here. Did you see the tattoo, Pierre?
I sure did.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I asked you yesterday if I could call you Dorothy.
Oh, I didn't hear Dorothy.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. What's with everybody today?
Wait, what's happening?
I have no idea.
What do you mean?
You're like, give me one word answer, and you know.
No, no. The tattoo is great.
Okay.
Incredible, in fact. And then I was just joking because yesterday some reference to Dorothy came along, and I don't know where it was. And I said, are you Dorothy?
Happened?
Never mind. Let's just, can we move it along, please?
Yes.
I've got a hell of a show, though.
All right. Should we do the letter first?
You betcha.
Hell of a show. All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
A as in Avenue.
All right, we will give away this prize on Friday, but you need these letters. You got to collect them. We have a trip for two to the fan screening of Overlord Thursday, November 7th in Burbank, California at the AMC Burbank, including round-trip airfare, two-night hotel stay, including breakfast vouchers for two, plus two tickets to a guided bus tour of infamous Hollywood crime scenes and celebrity death locations. You got to be at least 21 in order to win. Overlord opens nationwide on November 9th. So what's up on that hell of a show today?
Birthday bucks at 11 and 1 p.m. More passes for Pierre Presents Rivals Sons. And I got the march to Metallica today. So
nice.
That means a really nice prize this week as we get ever closer. It's only a week from Thursday, by the way. March to Metallica means I've got tickets to the show. I've got a medium-sized hoodie. That's the only size we have. Ride the Lightning box set, and that qualifies you for the grand prize of meeting and greeting the band and getting that Orion 65 cooler. Also, a workforce box of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Flea is celebrating a birthday today. So is Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead. So that's where we'll go after that. And we had a great interview with Mike Shinoda, brilliant creator of music and art and producer and fascinating guy of Linkin Park. And we'll run that probably around 1 o'clock today.
Awesome.
The block of Linkin Park. So that'll be fun.
Excellent. Thank you, Pierre. And I want to mention this. I forgot to mention this earlier today, but we have a flash sale on two shirts on our online store. And
Yes,
they're both centric to our trip to London next week. So we have the Preston and Steve British Invasion.
Ooh.
And we have the Kelly Green London Calling t-shirts that are available.
I think I might have to get one of those.
And you have to order by tomorrow at 11 a.m. And you'll receive it by Thursday of next week. And you'll be good to go. So they're only $20. So if you want to get one, you can go to WMMR.com. Right now on our Instagram page, we have posted pictures of the shirts if you would like to see what they look like. And if you'd like to order one, you'll have it in time for the game, which is on the 28th. And we, of course, will be in London broadcasting live.
When is that? Next week?
Next week.
Yes.
You're going that soon?
We leave next Thursday. We'll be broadcasting on Friday.
Wow.
Yeah. Ostensibly.
Are you doing your show on Thursday?
No.
We're doing the show Thursday morning?
Well, we're doing the show here on Thursday,
right.
And then we take essentially an overnight flight, and we get up and we do our program live on Friday.
We're going to fly in, obviously, to Heathrow, then basically drive to the broadcast site and do the show from London.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to go into a massive cardiac arrest.
Yeah, and I think we're doing our show. We haven't revealed yet, but I think we're going to be on a boat. On
yes.
Wow.
Yeah, during our show. A moored boat.
Oh, no. Moored. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not. We're not going to be.
No.
But it's on the Thames, which is pretty cool.
Are you kidding?
That's it'll be awesome. Right there by the eye. So,
and then will you go to the athletic competition?
Some of us will.
Okay. Is that Sunday?
Yes. Yes. It is.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
And then we broadcast on Monday from London.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So we're sticking there, and then
that's
then,
good.
Then we'll have Tuesday off. That's going to be a travel day. And then we come back on Wednesday, broadcast live, and that's when we're definitely having cardiac arrest.
Which is Halloween.
Thursday's Halloween, I think.
And we better be back.
Be back.
So that's coming up. I'm going to take a moment to thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow, only thing we have on tap for now is going on live, Fox Good Day. And I'm sure we'll fill in the blanks and have lots of stuff for you tomorrow.
So oh, yeah.
That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow again. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve. Love you. Hate you. Live.
Hey, how's it going? It's me. What's new? I feel like we don't talk anymore. I'm not sure. Is everything all right? Did I do something? don't know, just give me a call. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Next message.
Hey, do you remember this? I'm not wearing underwear.
Next message.
There is a lane on the highway that allows you to speed up so you can merge into traffic. Use it for what it's designed for.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.